with Fred Onetto today, and Fred is going to be discussing some of his memories and thoughts and comments about his life here in Amador County. And Fred, so let's just start by you just giving your full name, if you could.
Fred Lawrence Onetto. Date of birth was 7/8/27. My spouse's name was Vera Swanson. Date of marriage was 4/9/49.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
4/9/49.
Yeah, that's how I remember it. She was born in 29. Occupation, cattleman, rancher. Spouse was a housewife. Place of birth was Jackson, California. Place of marriage in Reno, Nevada.
All right.
Place of birth. Spouse was in Minnesota. Spouse is out there. Name of mother, Juliet M. Romero. Date of birth, July 20th, 1892. Place of birth was in Clinton, California. Occupation, housewife and school teacher. Name of father, John L. Meadow. Date of birth, 1890. December the 5th. Place of birth, Jackson, on the middle fork of the Jackson Creek. Occupation, Division of Highways of California. Siblings and names of birth, children names of birth. There was a large family with many children. Their names are Lawrence, Joe, Nick, one girl, Mary, and they all lived on the south fork, or middle fork of the Jackson Creek. Their birth dates, my dad was 1890, and he was one of the youngest.
Wow.
The grandchildren, names and date of birth, John and Brandy O'Neill. Their birthdays were 1981, 1982. Earliest relatives, Southern California. My earliest relatives were my grandfather, Giovanni O'Neill, came over around 1880. They lived, came from Italy, out of the county.
You know whereabouts in Italy they're from?
From Italy?
Uh-huh.
They always were Genoveses.
Okay.
They were south of Genoa, but in Tuscany.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little town my dad always named Levi.
Oh, really?
And that's where they were from.
Huh.
And there is a little town of Onetto up on the hill, but my dad, Levi, was his home.
Have you ever been back there?
I've been to Italy, but I never went into their the relatives. I've been to Pisa and Lucca and all Genoa and all that, Florence. But I never looked them up. My dad, when he was in the First War, he was serving in France, and he had a furlough, and he went to Italy to see his relatives.
Huh.
And they were doctors and old lawyers. So later years, my dad would never fly. He wanted to go back and see him, so he went with train across the states, took a ship to Italy, and he talked to them and met them all. And
I saw him again.
He saw them, yeah.
Yeah.
They were lawyers and doctors. They were
educated
cool. People.
Huh.
Yeah. Why did they move here? Well, I think how, why, that is a great question. How can you leave this part of the world and go to unknown?
I can't imagine uprooting from where you've lived and your whole families have always lived. How frightening that must have been to come over.
What strength you could have to do this.
Yeah.
Like my grandfather, he large family in Italy, but when he got over, then he sent for his brothers and sisters. I can understand that part of it. Mm. But on the other side of my family was the Coney. They come out of north of Milano. It's a Swiss elf, Italian Swiss elf. And they hid in Patterson with some relative, but then to come to California with nothing. And they homesteaded, they were allowed 168. He homesteaded up on the west side of Mount Zion out of Clinton because there was a spring of water.
Oh, really?
It raised a family. You know, how do you do this?
I don't know. Stronger people than me.
Yeah. And then that gets back into the bootleg days, too. He was killed very young. Mm. They killed him down at on the river. They were spearing salmon, they said, and they were using dynamite. But that was within probation. You had people coming in and wanting to get in on the act, and it was pretty rough. They lost a lot of people around here. We had an old Studebaker truck, my dad did, had a bullet hole right over the door.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a fast old truck, but it was like a 1927 or 28. No, those are different days.
And that was all from bootlegging?
Well, just like you make your own wine.
Right.
Well, all these people in this area made their own wine, but they were selling it when you're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So this money was coming in the pot, so these people from Chicago come in and wanted to get in their hands in that pot. And poor old Italians, they really didn't have that much.
Mm-hmm.
So it got bad, real bad.
Now who did... I guess if you make wine, then you sell it to the locals? Is that who they usually sell it to? Is there friends and neighbors? And
I delivered 50 gallons of wine many times on Main Street.
Oh, really?
The whole barrels. When I was young, I could lift them and push them.
You lifted those?
I rolled them, lift them. Jeez. I just put up 300 pounds easy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you work up on a rock pile all day long, man, you get strength.
300 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight.
Well, that's what... and then they had a limit of how much home wine you could make. It was 240 or something like that gallons. I guess they did away with that. I don't know.
No, there's still a limit.
250 or something.
It's like 200 now.
Yeah, 200. See, but they had their own grapes. They raised them dry farming. Then they'd make the wine, and I think we got, we didn't get a dollar a gallon.
Hmm.
And try to,
that's my phone.
Oh, that's it. Try to, a dollar was a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
No one had it. There was no money until the Second War. Very little money.
Oh, that's right, because during the Depression time and all that.
The Depression, 29, went through the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Then Roosevelt got in with these programs, CCC, California Youth Authority.
Conservation Corps.
Conservation Corps, and they had a lot of programs they started. But there was no money until the Second War.
Now, but then Jackson was able, correct me if I'm wrong, because you were here. My understanding is Jackson, when it came to the Depression, was not hit as hard because the mines kept working and they still had the gambling and they still had the brothels. And
that is so true. That is very true. Jackson never really felt it.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were pretty lucky. They had a source of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was going down farmers were taking it, and they had gold, and then there was a lot of gold that was transported illegally. You had to salt it. Now they helped themselves wherever they could, because it was tough. And they would take it to the boarding houses, usually where they lived. There was boarding houses all the way out, Jackson Gate and around. And they had to dispose of it someplace. So most of the boarding house, the prior was a go-between, and he'd take it, and then he had to find a buyer. But that's what they did. Yeah, that was the old gold mining days.
Now, did your dad do any gold mining or work in the mines?
You know, the Italians, they didn't like that hole in the ground.
Yeah.
My folks, my grandparents, up south of town here now in 88, about 5 miles along the creek, they had gardens and they raised vegetables. And they call that the French garden. But that was Italians, and that's what they did. They didn't do much inside of a mine. But there was a lot of them that went in. But then...
Now, where was the French gardens?
Oh, you know where the Caminiti Ranch is?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know where you turn into the casino now?
Right.
Right below it on the right, there's a horse arena and everything.
Right.
There was a big home there, Caminiti. And all that, on that side of the creek, clear up to where the Onettos are, Morfinos,
mm-hmm.
Clinton Road, they all had terrace, like in the old country.
Uh-huh.
And they grew vegetables, and they called that the French garden.
Why the French garden?
I don't know how it came up. It must be in a Frenchman, but I have that in one of the books. And that's what they called it, but a lot of Italians, they tried to survive. And then my grandfather, he was doing good, so he had money and he would lend it, and then he would foreclose and have another piece of ground.
Well, that's called good business.
Yeah, well, that's what he did in those days.
So you'd also talked about the Prohibition. You talked about a lot of people made wine. So were there a lot of vineyards that are still here or not here?
like ours are gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still see, we plowed by with a horse, and you can still see the windrows light,
mm-hmm.
where it was. But it was all dry farming. So whatever, like olive trees now, all over the place, and in Europe, that's what they did with their grapes.
Oh, okay.
They had wherever they had a flat area where they could work them, and they grew their own all dry farm, and they made their own wine.
And is that mostly Zinfandel?
We had what they call, our biggest one up by Mount Zion, was half Zinfandel, and the other half we called it California,
mm-hmm.
and they call that Mission grapes.
Oh, okay.
Your Zin, mm-hmm. has the sugar and the color, but the other grape, California, had the liquid, the juice and the volume, so they would mix them.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So they blended everything.
If they wanted to, they could make straight, Zinfandel or California with a lighter wine, but they blended it. And when they made their wine, they had big tanks, 10,000-gallon tanks. They would crush it, and everything went into that tank. Leaves, stems, bugs. Okay, it all goes into this tank. Well, it starts fermenting, and they liked it tart wine. They would push that pumice down twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when I was a kid, I couldn't drink it. I had to put water in it. It was so bitter, but they loved it. There was never any water on the table. It was always wine.
Mm-hmm.
That was their winemaking. Then they'd take it out and draw it, take the pumice, and they had their homemade press. Piece of granite they'd chisel out, and then blacksmith shop would make this frame, and they'd put a ratchet, and press
uh-huh.
down, squeeze it all the juice they could get out of it, out of the pumice. No, that was a big thing, winemaking. Part of their livelihood.
Now, you said they had those big tanks.
Yeah.
Made of wood?
All sleds. Bands. Staves. Staves. When one family moved out of Clinton, they bought a house out by the Serbian church, right the next one over.
Mm-hmm.
So they came off the ranch, getting older. But there was no basement, no winemaking. They went underneath and dug it out, blasted under the house. They had a basement something like 30 by 20.
Wow.
10 feet deep. They brought these, the way they got this tanks in, piece by piece, staves. Built them up, and then they had the steel band.
Mm-hmm.
That, and those tanks were still in that house when we sold it.
Really?
And another deal on that, it was out there by where they have the Sinai plant later years, where they pumped all the sand right up by the house.
Mm-hmm.
So water was coming in the basement into this wine cellar, just what they wanted. They had a drain, and there was water running through for the atmosphere and humidity. Loved it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's real clever.
Yeah, they had that, just the climate they wanted. Yeah, that was on the Zucconi side. The Onetos had tanks, but they were all undercover, you know, but out. But they all the families had one, most of them anyhow, but the only one.
Did they have stills where they could make hard liquor?
Yeah, they made brandy, and mm-hmm. then they made the liquor what they called jackass.
Jackass?
Jackass. That stuff was powerful. You know, it had a lot of alcohol in it.
Yeah.
And they made a woman's wine out of muscat.
Sweet. Uh-huh.
You know, white grape.
Mm-hmm.
They made that. Oh, the old timers. Well, gotta give them credit. They survived.
Yeah, and having the know-how to do that and then being able to market that.
Well, it was a friendly market.
Right.
My grapes didn't come in this year. This year I need 50 gallons of wine or 20 or something. Mm-hmm. Or we'll swap.
Right.
You know, it was no big. Just
everybody helped everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to haul the barrels down Main Street, go around the back. I was young then. Roll them off.
Now, was it mostly the Italian families that made the wine, or were there
but there was a lot of Greeks or Slavonians that they made Vishna. They made it out of cherries and different things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Different fruits,
yeah. And they call it Vishna. Very powerful. I mean, we're kids. Going to school, they'd help go down and get it from their dad. Oh, gee, they wouldn't know it. No, that was something else. Slut. Yeah.
Now, did you have certain areas where just strictly... Not strictly, but mostly Italians lived in, and then other areas where mostly Serbians lived in, or you had here too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had your families, well, they would speak the same language, and they would probably work together, but
sure,
they lived together, you know, and the relatives, and they had their olives, and it was their heritage, and then you had your, but I grew up with the Slavs. Mm-hmm. I had one in my family next door to me. He worked in the mine, and he had a girl, and then he had twins. My mother was a second grade school teacher, and in those days, the schools, there was nothing but English.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to tutor on Saturday for Italian boys.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, where does she teach at? What school?
This grammar school. She ended up here in Jackson. She taught up at Milligan,
mm-hmm.
up at top of the hill of Volcano, Upper Anshorn. Charleston.
Okay.
She had a horse and buggy, and she'd drive up there. She told me the story. She had a runaway, come all the way down that grade with a horse, no range.
Wow.
We were on the track there or something.
You're talking about your neighbor.
Oh, yeah, my neighbor. It was this, and so there was three children in his family, and they spoke Serbian or Slav.
Now, what was her last name?
Kosic.
Kosic?
Oh. You know him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Same family, huh?
Same.
Oh.
That's the one.
Okay.
Okay. And I was next door, and they were the two meanest little boys you ever saw. But I was just as bad. One day I'm in the backyard, and they would pull a baby chicken apart.
Really?
Oh, yeah. See who could pull the hardest. One day I threw a rock, and one of them, it was the one that just died. He was running towards the house. I had enough English on it. Caught him right on the forehead.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's in there bleeding. My parents, they pull me in there with all this, you know. Oh, boy. You didn't forget it. Didn't do it again. But, so, their name was Slako and Bronco. Slavonia. My mother says, you have to have an English name. So she named them Billy and Sammy. The girl, my mother had a name, but the mother wanted Sally.
Oh.
Yeah. She died. So there's the one, there's one left, Bill. They lived, and then when the mines went down, they had a friend or someone down in L.A. at on the docks, got them a job, so they pulled out. A lot of the families pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
Local families, Bay Area, Concord, war effort, into the essential war jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the families thought.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, and where exactly did you grow up when you lived in town?
I was on Stacel Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Oh, from the cemetery down, 56th house. Who lives around there? You know. You know where Hawkins lives?
Uh-huh.
Okay, across the street.
By Garcia's?
Down. No, that was, and up the street. The one that looks the worst on the street today. There was Garcia, that was,
he lives there now, doesn't he?
He lives there, but that house was the old, geez. Anyhow, then there was Lawyer House, Doctor lived there, and the next one was Valvo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been around the Valvo all my life.
I'll be
they
done.
Came up and bought the house next to me here, one of them. But there was the old post, we're living there, and then that's where we were. What the heck, I can't see. Borrell.
Oh.
Garcia, that was a Borrell. He mm-hmm. was part owner of the Rex gambling mm-hmm. bar and restaurant. And on Stacel. When I grew up, there were 30 kids on that street.
Really? Oh, how fun.
From the cemetery to, what do they call this? Blue Hill Street or Clear Down.
Mm-hmm.
There was 30. Lower kids would fight the upper. We'd make rubber gun out of tubes with like a gun and clothespin and
oh, yeah.
throw it up and fire at each other. Yeah, that was yeah, we'd play baseball out in the street. Some guy would break a window, everybody leave.
Everybody
like none of the doors in the houses were locked. But if you went in and caught that mother would take care of you just like if he was your own mother.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, it was all like one family, but yeah, you all lived together and we never had many problems. We'd have poor guys come through, we called them tramps, and they'd take them in, feed them, give them a meal, and away they'd go.
Did you see a lot of men during the Depression time period walking through and looking for jobs?
Well, in Jackson, you didn't see that many,
uh-huh.
but they had them.
Uh-huh.
But nothing like other places.
Right.
You know, I saw some, but nothing really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do you remember who your teachers were?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
About, I started grade school about 1933 or 34. My first class, I remember my first class. We had a pencil about 6 inches long, and it was about a half inch in diameter with a big lead in it. Mrs. Jameson, she was from Shenandoah Valley, Jameson Ranch.
Uh-huh.
She taught first grade. We had this large pencil, and we showed us how to hold it, and then we would make a circle, circle, circle. Then, through the center, we would push, pull, push, pull. And that's how we started learning how to hold a pencil and writing.
I'll be darned.
1933. The second grade was Mrs. Caldwell. Third grade was Mrs. McCaskey. First grade teacher, Mrs. Jameson, and Mrs. McCaskey lived together in the apartments on Stacel Avenue.
Oh.
But in those days, there was no funny people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Okay. I learned it later years. Miss McCaskey, third grade, she had a paddle hanging right over her desk. I mean a paddle, bigger than a ping pong paddle. And she was always chewing. I always thought it was tobacco. It was coffee grounds.
Really?
Yep. So that's third. Then fourth was Mr. Silva. Then Mary Osborne, who came into town with Larry Danilovich's wife.
Oh.
They moved in together up by Clinton on Avis Road. That's how they came in here. Larry met her. Sixth grade was Mrs. Fuller, Chuck Fuller's mother. Fifth grade was Mrs. Fuller. Sixth grade was Mary Zaccone, my aunt. You think that was?
You had your aunt.
I had my aunt. You think that wasn't something? And I'm a young kid. Well, I can remember. And I did one thing wrong. She put me in a corner. All the other kids were getting away with it. Then the seventh grade was Mrs. Batteracle out by Fuller's Ranch, the upper ranch is Batteracle. And then our principal Len was Mr. Towsley, who was a botanist and always had a whistle in his hand, like they do in a referee's, but he had it with the ring so the whistle was here, and he'd come up and pat you on the head. What's that whistle?
Really?
Yeah. He thought it was funny. And then, the eighth grade, we'd have baseball games, softball, no hard, we never had a hardball. And the back of the old school where it is today is, there's buildings there, by the way, the old two-story. Pictures on?
I've seen pictures.
Yeah, okay. I have some of them. In the back, there was enough room to play. But if you hit a ball over the fence, you were out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You had to keep and then everything. You had to go chase the ball because you only had one ball.
Oh, that's funny.
And on Fridays, there was Bill Wamedy. He was one of the custodians. I forget the other one. And they had a machine that erases everything. We had our big blackboards and to clean the chalk.
Mm-hmm.
They had a machine in those days, I don't know whoever invented it, had a long, like an angle iron with a motor turning a brush in the center. And you could hear it in all the classroom.
Really?
Yeah. Cleaning the...
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. That's back quite a ways. No, the school teachers and... God, I thought they were old.
Funny, huh?
Yeah.
Who was the principal?
Towsley.
Guy
Towsley.
Yeah.
The boy lived, Bob Towsley lived, we were vicarious houses.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, that was Bob Towsley built that. But the father and the family grew up where Bonifies is, up on the creek up here.
Oh, okay.
Right there, yeah. That was Towsley's house right there. That's where he, well, he had one son, the Marines, and Bob. They bought it. No, he was principal. No fooling around.
Yeah. And that group of kids that you grew up with on the block and all that, did most of them stay around here? that you know of?
Some. The greatest percentage left. There's no opportunity. It's still that way today.
Oh, you're right.
When they hit 65 or 55, Where do they go? They come back. Peace.
Mm-hmm.
The area is great to live in.
Oh, for sure.
Fight those freeways and all that. Of course, we never had freeways then. I had an uncle who lived in San Francisco. He left the ranch. My dad left the ranch. We used to go down and see him. And I remember going across on the ferry boats before that. I remember seeing the bridges built in 37 over there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There was, we used to drive out, get on the ferry, and you go off and over there on the other side by ferry building.
Mm-hmm.
Get off and go. You went across the bay on the ferry boat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well. What about junior high school?
We never had a junior high school.
So you went...
We went from 8th to freshman.
So the elementary school as we know it now, that was a K-8 school?
No.
No?
No K.
I'm sorry, you're right. First through 8th.
When you went in the first grade, there was no boy babysitting done before the first grade. No, it was 1st to 8th, and then 4 years of high school. Yeah, there was no junior or high school. I didn't even know what it was. I heard about it, but I didn't have any idea what they were.
Now, was there, did you guys play sports and stuff in elementary school against other teams?
In the elementary school, I said we played softball.
Uh-huh.
But then they had these giant rings, beautiful things. You know, you swing like a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Swing. Every time a kid got hurt, they'd take one out. Ended up they didn't have any more.
Really?
Yeah, and they would play marbles.
Uh-huh.
Circle and marbles. Then we played all the other old games, Tally-Io and Kick the Can and all those old things.
Did you guys carry pocket knives and stuff? That you can recall?
They had pocket knives, but we never had knives.
Okay.
We had no weapons.
I know as a kid I used to play chicken.
Yeah.
And all my buddies had pocket knives. I didn't
know. Never had pocket knives. Nothing. They had pocket knives, but we never used them.
Mm-hmm.
No. But we got through it.
So, one of the questions I was interested about was riding bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
Did people have bicycles up here? Because it's such a hilly place.
We had bicycles, but very few had bicycles. My first bicycle was put together from one to another piece of junk.
Oh, okay.
But we had nothing like that. But we had what we called the balloon tire.
All right.
And the seat had springs. Mm-hmm. Today, your butt is dead, and that little wheel, that wheel drive you nuts. You know, they're not comfortable to ride.
Right.
One time, my brother... going out North Main Street, and in those days, well, one had a bike, one didn't, we'd ride double. He sat right between you and the handlebars on the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
He was going out, and this boy with him put his foot in the spokes.
Oh!
So they went head first, and the spokes went through my brother, come out his nose.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. That was one I didn't get to know.
So... was there a hospital here? Or
your old county hospital?
Uh-huh.
They had shut that down in my time.
Oh, really?
If you lived long enough, they had an old ambulance. A guy in Sutter Creek had started. We would try to get the Preston School. They had doctors. And if you made it there, they'd try to get you to Sacramento. But there was no hospital.
Huh.
The old hospital had been shut down.
And shut it down because just not enough.
I guess they just couldn't carry it.
Couldn't afford it.
The building's still there, though.
Yeah, yeah. So, who was your family doctor then?
Well, I had one right on the street by the name of Kearns, Lowe, Lovell. We had two doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Made house calls.
Mm-hmm. Don't see that much anymore, do you?
We never went to an office.
Yeah.
You'd call them, measles or cough. They come in and scope you and all this and give you something. But those two doctors had a load. I was telling my specialist in Sacramento. One committed suicide and the other took up drinking.
Really?
Oh, it was too much of a load.
Yeah.
And it just got to them. You know, they were professional people. and their brains just could not handle it.
I bet you they dealt with a lot of industrial accidents, too, that were just hard
to
deal with.
Well, from the mine.
Yeah.
From your mine, a lot of miners were hurt, and they'd have to set bones.
Mm-hmm.
But we only had two, and then it was tough around here. And then later years, not like today, we have doctors. We never had doctors like that.
Yeah.
Well, dentists, same with the dentist. I lost all my back teeth, and I went to a dentist 3 times a year. But the dentist in those days did not know what plaque was.
Oh.
You know? Mm-hmm. Tooth get bad, they pull it out.
Yeah.
And I lost my back teeth. But I went to the dentist. My folks always had me go to the dentist, but I lost them.
So let's talk a little bit about when you're living in on Stasel. I've talked to people that they said that they could sometimes hear the mine, what's that called? The crushers when they're crushing a rock.
The stamp mills.
You can always hear the stamp mills going.
In those days, up to 41, this town where we're sitting right here now on mm-hmm. Peace Hill, this town had a rumble, a steady rumble, night, never quit. The stamp mills at the Argonaut and Kennedy, I forget how many stamps they had. 100 or whatever they were. They were crushing a rock. It was a steady rumble.
I've heard that, yeah. And you remember all that?
Oh, I remember the water wheels running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they had the flume across the road and all that. They had that fire in 22, and I was born in 27. That was one fire. They had other fires and other... Then your mind, when they closed those down in 41, this town got so quiet, it was weird.
I bet it would be.
Yeah, it was weird.
Now, I talked to a couple of people, and they said, I don't know how close they lived to the mines, but they said they'd come out in the morning and kind of brush off their car.
Dust.
Because of the dust in the
yeah.
air. So I was wondering if that caused a lot of people had asthma and stuff like that.
Cirrhosis.
Then
they get TB, mm. tuberculosis.
Was that?
And no, yeah.
That's
and
quite a bit up here.
Oh, yeah. In those days, they had no pills, no doctors. They didn't know how to cure this. Up on Highway 80, going to Reno, Weimar.
Okay, yeah.
They would send them up there. They had these homes. Fresh air, that's all they knew. If you got tuberculosis, you knew. But they got the rock dust in their lungs, like black lung in
mm-hmm.
the coal mines.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't good.
So did you know a lot of people or some people that worked in the mines?
Oh, yeah. I knew
everybody.
Well, when I was in high school, or before I got there, right around. There was a lot of kids in school when they become seniors couldn't wait to go down in the mine shaft.
Really?
Yep. On top they got 2 1/4. Down in the mine they got $4. And young kids at 18.
Is this per day?
Per day.
Wow.
And they made that $4, $4.50 down in the mine. I went into one. Never in my life did I go again.
Which one did you go in?
I went into a Radio Ranch, you know where Frank lives, Hollerson?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
You know there's a big claim there, they call it wash, hydraulic wash. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's 100 and some feet they washed. This Frenchman had dug a tunnel in there later years. So this friend and I and another little kid, we went in with them. Dark, oh, walked, climbed the ladder back in there. So we were going to get ready to come out, and he had his ore car in there.
Yeah.
One-man operation. He says, you guys get in this. Keep your head down. And he gave it a push.
Mm-hmm.
It was pitch black. Now, he had dug that for a grade that he did not have to push that car on. We come out of that tunnel, and I was thinking, as a little kid, we're going to go over the bank.
Oh, yeah.
So at the end, the way he had engineered it, had a little grade. I never went back in another tunnel. That was enough for Fred.
He scared you.
No. And you cannot believe how... But there,
you couldn't see your head, huh?
No. It is... your eyes are useless.
Yeah.
But that was enough for me. I never went near another mine. A lot of guys, they wanted to get up there and get inside those tunnels. Well, they made $4, $4.50 a day.
So did you hear about the mules that used to work in the...
Up in the Kennedy.
Yeah.
The way that one was built, that shaft is vertical. And, you know, you have all your drifts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those drifts are falling quartz beams. Mm-hmm. They just don't stick a hole in there. The engineer comes down, he figures this all out, and here we've got to put a tunnel. So they have all these drifts. Well, they had some dockies down there on a drift to pull the ore from over to the main shaft to the hoist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed down there all the time. But that guy, he wouldn't work. He knew his hours. He would stop and you couldn't move. That's the truth. He knew his...
he knew his time to quit and eat and all that.
He knew his... You put the day in, you would not. Well, I heard a lot of miners telling you.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, I knew a lot of miners. Jeez. Well, it was a mining town.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's funny, though.
Yeah.
About the mules.
Yeah. Overworked them. Then I had an uncle. They had Argonaut had a cyanide plant up by where the high school is on all that area.
Mm-hmm.
He was working night shift, and two guys, no, one. Anyhow, the gold from the cyanide plants was coming out pretty pure, you know, or there's a certain second part of it.
Right.
Some goes in, they have to redo it and, you know, clear it up and couldn't find my uncle one cold morning. So they started everything, kept it going. Finally, they find him tied up there to an oak tree.
Really?
Yep. They come in and stole all the gold and they tied him up.
Wow.
Okay. And in those days, Main Street, there was a click, like, you know, it wasn't a click, it was a good time. So on Main Street, guys would see my uncle and say, boy, good, I'm glad you got something out of it. And you know, he was thanking him. He says, I didn't get nothing. About 6 months later, they caught him in San Francisco, or Stockton.
Yeah.
They caught the ones that stole the gold. And that reminds me of, I had another uncle. He worked in the Kennedy with his brother. His brother was true God, but he was true crook. He didn't believe in hard work. Him and another friend of his from Jackson Gate. So they would take what was up in the trays, and the poor mine had no. The next day, there was what's the matter? Oh, we got a bad rock. They'd clean it out.
Oh,
so they bought this huge, this was in the 20s, automobile or something, convertible. Then they'd go get the girls from the houses, and they'd go around town, you know. And finally, the sheriff, he was, you know, he was taking care of things.
Right.
But he came to him, he says, hey, Joe, you're making it bad for us. You can't be doing this. Your family. So he thought a little bit, and he said, by God, I think he's right. He went up to Plumas County and become the Bull of the Woods.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got the hell out of town. Yeah, that's a true story.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I bet there's quite a bit of high grading that was taken.
Oh, yeah. Even in our house, they had a mallet made out of metal, like square, so with a round knob on, you would crush it.
Oh,
off.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you see, there's an all houses. They all had them.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
So that's what that's.
Yeah,
like.
Just like making whole living life.
Yeah.
I used to see them as a kid. Crushed by hand. you know, they had to survive.
Yeah, and I know all the mines had a situation where someone was trying to check them to make sure they weren't
taken. Well, yeah, you had the federal people.
Yeah.
But they usually were tipped off when they came in. But they did nail Chuck Fuller's brother and his uncle. they did a lot of high grading.
Oh, did they?
Well, they were the buyers. Mm-hmm. Miners came to them. And Fett and Chuck was hooked too, but he was a young kid. They went to prison, the two of them.
Mm.
His brother and his uncle. Brother come out and was running the cat, and a tree come down and killed him.
Really?
Yep.
Oh. Wow. That's crazy.
Oh, well, there was a lot of deaths, you know.
A lot of industry type of deaths or accidents.
Do you know, you around those mines, you know where OSHA come in? Those guys are falling down the shaft.
Mm.
And there was a rock that would break loose.
Right.
It wasn't nice. I could say I got in one. I would never go back.
You know, I read a story one time about V.S. Scarborini.
Virgil.
And they're talking about...
Father. He was the engineer, self-made. That Broadway bridge that took out,
mm-hmm.
That was one of his.
Oh, really?
The projects up here on the mines, all that. See your shaft here, and you had your housing wheel, cables. They went across the road
mm-hmm.
to lift the skips. But that was all engineered, and he had a lot of that. He did a lot of it. And he was the father of all of them. They're all gone now. But Earl Gabrini was the mayor here. Virgil, Emmett Gabrini. It was instinct in their blood just to design and do things. We were on strike once. And where the grammar school is today, between there and the cemetery, where they had a bus stop there, a garage.
Mm-hmm.
I built that.
Oh, you did?
It was Emma Gabarini. He engineered it, and I was working with a slab that came out of the mines after they shut them down. And we had to dig a water line from that building to the street. So we were digging, and we found some cloth. So Emmett says, cover it up, just keep digging. And there was nothing. I mean, that was out in the field. So this miner I was working with told me, he was one of the last to come out on the fire, up the skip. He wanted to get down to the 35th or 36th level again. He says, gee, I had it all ready to come up. And they come up and they didn't tell me it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He says, it's still there. And I had chain houses, you know. Made it look good.
Yeah.
Well, the mines were a big part of that. Well, we're in the mother lode here. There's more gold under us than whatever was taken out. But to get it out, nowadays.
Well, they fill up with water and it's...
Well, you can't pump the water down a creek like they used to.
Right, right.
You have to get rid of water. Where are you going to go with it?
So, you know, on Sutter, and I think it's Argonaut Drive, they got that dam that's there.
Yeah. That was from the Sinai plant.
So was it? Was that holding back just lots of water? Because
no,
now
sand.
Now it's all dirt. So it's holding back
it's
all the
sand.
Yeah. Okay.
That's like the one over on the Kennedy. You know where Jim put up his tower. Have you ever gone and seen that dam?
Mm-mm.
You haven't.
Mm-mm.
Sometime take a walk in. It belongs to the city now, the property.
Okay.
Walk in and look at. Well, you can see the one right. Where you drive by it all the time, that engineer.
Yeah, I see that one, yeah.
Concave, the way they did it for pressure.
Oh, man, I'm impressed with that.
Okay, that one over there is a little bigger. I used to go across on the top, I'd crawl.
Really?
Yeah. Little kid, I'd crawl across. But you had to look at the engineer. That was done in the 20s, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there, unbelievable, and all the cement been made by hand. But
yeah,
the engineering
true.
That went into those is something else.
You know, change subject a little bit. You were talking about earlier about the gardens
mm-hmm.
and the French gardens and all the Italians raising vegetables and
mm-hmm.
stuff. Did most people around here deer hunt, bird hunt? I mean, everybody probably ate venison and stuff. Is that pretty common back
you
then?
Lived off the land.
Yeah, okay.
You homesteaded along the spring of water, but then you had to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the early days, my uncles were telling me there was no deer. They had a disease, and if you saw a track, you followed it day and night to get a, something to eat, you know. But we used to wild pigeons right where the county hospital is.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a golf course there. Do you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. But wild pigeons would come right there. There was no houses around or anything. We'd go out and shoot pigeons right there. Hunt deer? Oh, yeah. All of, my dad, was, he loved to hunt deer. We hunted up in the mountains. And we never went as far as Cook Station. You didn't have to. You were allowed $2.
Oh, okay.
And you never shot a fork and horn. It was always a four-pointer.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Well, you didn't have to. And we'd, in those days, they used to call it the Oneto Group. They had hound dogs, and they'd make drives, you know. People
mm-hmm.
would get on stands, they call them, then they'd drive it towards them, call them drives. Very little hunting went on, one guy, one-on-one. Barry Sawmill, the old man, I remember him in the 30s. He had a Buick come out of up there, and he'd come down to the Standard Station, it was right where the park is now, Pekovich Park. You couldn't see the car for dust. Beautiful car.
Really?
It was a coupe. One day he was there, and he had tobacco coming out of his both sides of his mouth. I see him plug this thing in. You know, in Dashboard, well, I didn't. We never had cars. And this thing buzzed, and he started going like this on his face. Electric razor. First one I ever saw.
The guy was using it in the car.
He was plugged in. And he used to hunt with the family. Shotgun. In those days, you could use shotgun.
Uh-huh.
And he'd have that buck load, and he'd have to pattern his load. There'd be a big tree, ponderosa, 4 or 5 feet through. He'd shoot at it. See, it was his joke.
Yeah.
And that was the old man of all these berries, and they're all gone too now. But that was Barry Sawmill. He had it.
I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, to hunt with a shotgun, you got to be pretty close.
Oh, yeah. Let me shoot out a couple hundred feet.
Man.
Oh, you know, I used to. I started out with a .22.
Shooting deer?
Well, yeah, I was the tail end of the drive. They gave me a .22. Then you moved up to a .410. Yeah, we used to go pigeon hunting. It was, we were over on Mount Occam. The whole gang went over. They knew about it. We were up on this ridge of these oaks, and the pigeons would come by the thousands.
Really?
He'd just keep coming. So I'd wait till he landed in the oak tree. Yeah, those pigeons, it was something, thousands.
Huh.
But they've just about wiped them out now.
And most people cooked them in stews or made gravy out of them?
I used to bring them home in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
She'd get so mad. I bring them with 10, 12, 15 home, you know. But, boy, they're good.
Yeah.
Cooked them up. Oh, man, they're good, real good eating pigeons. Yeah. And then they had a group around here that, you know, our nice protected bird, a robin. It makes the best gravy in the world.
I've heard that.
And they'd go kill 300 or 400 a night.
Robin, at night?
And the flashlight.
Huh.
Yeah, they'd make good gravy.
So a robin must roost kind of low then.
Yeah, well, they're up. They'd find where they would roost up
mm-hmm.
in the oaks.
Uh-huh.
I never did get into one of those deals. That was local.
Was there a lot of fishing? Everybody fished?
Yeah, we fished our streams, but we never had, at first, there was no planted fish.
Right.
We had all natural fish, browns, German browns.
Mm-hmm.
And we fished, I used to fish cricks, like Scott Crick or all crick, no cricks. You know, you just let a float and you pull out these nice native, then they start planting after that. Then they start planting with an airplane in the lake. Rainbows, all rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
But well, we did a lot of fishing. Then when they built these dams around here, it's easy fishing.
Yeah.
If you want to sit there all day. You
know? Right. Do you remember any salmon running up in their streams?
No, it was with my grandfather before they built Pardee Dam. That mm-hmm. river was open all the way what they call Ball Rock.
Okay.
It was a granite up there fall, mm-hmm. and they'd go clear up to that, and they'd go down and spear them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't have hooks or anything. They'd go down and get salmon down in the river.
Those days are gone, huh? Now, so I had asked you this once before today. Italian Picnic,
mm-hmm.
Italian Benevolent Society, that was a pretty big organization back
all
then.
All my life.
Yeah.
When I was a little guy, I'd go out there and they'd have their picnic. They really had a picnic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they brought their lunches and sat under the trees and talked all day long.
Is it the same location now?
Same location.
So that's
it,
always
but it's changed. It isn't like it is today. But that was the Italian Picnic. And then they had what they called rough riding days between the Italian Picnic and the church now, that open field there. That was belongs to them. They had a rodeo ring there and everything. And then they'd have a parade that start up at the airport and come down the county road. Horses and the cowboys, and they'd come down, parade before the rodeo. And the old airport, I have some pictures someplace. The old Jennies, you know what they are? The two-wing, the old...
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple pictures of those where my dad was there, and I used to see him land right there where Vicari's house, south in Boozy's.
Really?
Yeah.
They landed over here?
Yeah. Well, they didn't need much room. They landed right on that hill there. I remember seeing
really?
Them.
Really?
You know, besides the airport. The right. airport, I almost got killed up there during the war. The way it was, it had a big hump in the middle, short runway, big trees all over.
Oh, really?
Oh. I got in an BT-13 up there. It was a trainer. So we're going. I was in the back cockpit. And when I got in, you know, you got all your cables the way they're crude.
Yeah.
Well, we go down into the runway and he checks his mags. He revved it up. Motor died.
Oh.
If that had happened. When I got in, there was a valve and I shut it off. Another one.
So you turned it off about
I slid in and never knew it. And lucky he stayed. If he'd have gone, we'd have been up three. But I did see two people get killed up there. He was a glider pilot. Took off the wrong way, no lift.
Uh-huh.
Damn plane hit and burned. But I had another one. We were out over the McAllen coming back. Blew an oil line. Couldn't see. But we made it in.
Wow.
Yeah. They were crude. I used to like to fly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's... So that airport's been up there a long time.
Oh, yeah, all my life.
Really?
But it never looked... They remodeled it, I think, about three times. Mm-hmm. Grants. And they still got a little hump in it. When you come... If you ever look at it, it's not flat.
Nah,
it's got a little hump in it.
I haven't really paid attention.
No, it's not like it used to be. Oh, I seen Jessica off of there. Yeah. I talked to the pilot. They have no problem going off. It's coming in. They have so much power they can get up.
Yeah. So what else I was going to ask you about that? Oh, so did you guys go visit? Was it common for you guys to go down, say, to Ione or to Plymouth or to Sutter Creek?
In the early days... The families all work 6 days a week.
Okay.
But the Sabbath, the seventh day, there was no work. You'd go see relatives or church.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go, our family, there was Sutter Creek on that, as we call them up, Sutter Creek, Rancheria. And we'd go see relatives. I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they would talk and drink wine. And that was like going to a theater.
Oh, sure.
That's what they did. As far as the towns, the cities, we just went where there was relatives, mostly. Mm-hmm. 1/4 of July, my uncle and I went to McCallum Hill on the 4th. They've had a parade there for years, 100 years. We had these big firecrackers he had bought, 2 inches long. And we were down the street setting them off, and the guy come on the speaker and, "Hey, you guys down there, quit firing the firecrackers." I remember that. But our relatives, you know, they were pretty compact. They weren't that far away.
Mm-hmm.
Like I tell people jokingly, I hadn't gone to Sutter Creek until I was 17 years old. I didn't know what it looked like. But, you know, I can remember my dad worked for the highway department, the division of highway. We had to move up to the highway camp every year, summer. Because it took 8 hours to get to Silver Lake, almost, around the rocks. So we all lived up there, moved to camp, right where Iron Mountain Road goes off.
Yeah.
And on a Sunday was a day off, and my dad had an Essex. Well, we'd come down in the summertime, and I'd get sick every time I come down. I'm a little kid.
Yeah.
I always blame it on the wild lilac. Well, I was being gassed. Didn't even know it. So I remember on one Sunday we went to the hot springs over by Markleyville. Mm-hmm. I mean, those old cars, they would get out and push them. On another trip, we went to Lake Tahoe. I saw the road being built on that right side.
Really?
Yeah. I can remember it, yeah.
Really?
There was no road. I can remember them working on that.
Oh. How long would a trip like that take?
Well, to get from here to Silver Lake was 3-4 hours, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had, you know, the roads went around. There were the buggy roads. Mm-hmm. They went around rocks, and it would take at least that, 3 or 4 hours to get there. It seemed like all day. In the old cars they had. Then he had a Packard. Really thought that was something.
Did you ever go to Sacramento for any reason?
Not when I was a little kid.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
But later we would go for everything. Mm. There was nothing here. You had a grocery store. If you wanted a pair of shoes, you went to Sacramento. If you needed a coat, if you needed whatever, you went to Sacramento.
Wow, that's a long trip then.
Yeah, everything, you had to go to Sacramento. And that hadn't been that long ago. I can, you know, they start building those malls down there.
Mm-hmm.
But we had Tam's store for men's clothing. There wasn't a woman's clothing store. They went to Weinstock Lumen in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had relatives, you know, they got sick and got down there and died and made trips. But everything was Sacramento or Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a lot of time in Stockton. My dad came off the ranch. He met Dieter Park,
mm-hmm.
and he got into the stock market with him. He showed him this and that, you know. So he'd take me down. It was above the Bank of America, the top floor stock market. The guy with a chalk running up and down, a little kid. I'd look out the window. So 29 comes along and crashed.
I was going to say, his timing was bad.
He lost everything.
Yeah.
One time we were down with some police. I said, "I want you to meet him. He and I lost $200,000 a day. Lost it all. 29.
And what was Dieter like?
I never knew him. He was before my time, but he was, you know, the people come in here, they had an education,
right,
like a lawyer, a doctor, mm-hmm. or a judge. And that's what he was. He was a smart guy, you know. He was mm-hmm. educated. Like old Caminiti, the old Caminiti.
Right.
Oh, they had education beyond what was in this area.
Right.
Huh. Yeah.
Let's see. What else do I have? Let's go upside down. So let's talk a little bit about your high school days.
Oh yeah.
So
it was great.
It was great, huh?
I really did not like grammar school. I liked eighth grade. I started to like seventh grade, but eighth grade I kind of liked.
Yeah.
But the lower classes I did not. When you had to learn those multiplication tables, they hammered them in your head. Now they don't do that because we got a computer. But we, you know, things like that. It was boring. But then I got to high school. I liked high school. Started freshman. I never got to school and got kicked out.
There you go. So
we had initiations in those days. I mean, they had not with the assembly or anything. Yeah. I mean, okay.
So you're a freshman. And
I'm
you
a freshman.
I'm
walking from home. There was three of us. We were going to walk up to, you know, my freshman year, going in the first day of school, and the principal was McCabe.
Now, this is where the administration office is now, right?
That was our high school.
Okay.
And we usually came in by Jim Giddy on the end there, the end door. Okay. I never made it.
So that's off of Rex.
Yeah. Three seniors picked us up. They had a Model A or something. Took us down the Stony Creek Road about 3 or 4 miles. Took all our clothes but our shorts. Goodbye, boys. So we had to walk home. Well, we didn't know what the heck. We're young kids. Coming up the road, we find them hanging on the fence. So we put our clothes on. We go down and go. We open that door. McCabe come out of his office, come up to us. He was something else. Red face. Get out of here. I never been in there before. Then, as we were going out the door, he changed his mind. Come back here. And he says, get in that classroom over there. He was always, that one building they still used was our shop, that concrete building, remember? Mm-hmm. He was always sneaking around, but they had wood shop mechanical in there, looking around for somebody smoking. I only had him for 6 months, and then Larry Danilovich took over. It's lifesaver. Boy, he was a son of a gun, that principal.
What happened to him?
He went out of administration or something down the Bay Area, and he got a job right in the middle of the year.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, he went up, but I forgot what it was. Larry had gone to school here and this and that, and he came in and took it over. I like Larry.
It's nice when they have locals running the show, because they kind of get it.
Well, you bring strange people in, you can do that in a city. But our environment, you got to go with it, the way people live.
Yeah.
You can't change people.
Yeah.
You might think you can, but give them some ideas and help them, but don't try to change them.
No, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my freshman year, played football. First game was in Angels Camp, Bret Hart High School.
Were you varsity? Varsity as a freshman.
I went in. This is our first game, my first game I ever played. But I'd been up to the high school many times. I used to go from 7th and 8th grade and watch them. Benelli was the coach. And I knew a lot about football. Here I'm a little freshman. So my first game was in Bret Hart. I went with the crowd. I had one of those old leather helmets, like you see pitchers.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We went over there, and there was two juniors. Well, one got hit, and the other got hit, and they said, I don't want to play this game. They quit right there. So here I am, a little freshman. You would play, was playing corner. They had a kid over there by the name of Barsley. Could run like these blacks do today. Come around. I'm running like a little kid. I go up and hit him. His knee got me right here. Colder than the waist. First game.
Right in that temple.
Oh. I didn't know that. I come to. What the hell? You think I went out? No. Get going. And that was starting of my football career. After that, I played every game. I played freshman football against Sutter Creek. I played two varsity in the same year besides freshman.
Really?
Yeah, they never had no ball player. but then my sophomore year got more equalized, and we played the game different then. Body blocking, you know, you didn't try to break a kid's leg or something, but we put him down, and it went on from there. A lot of fun. Baseball, basketball.
So you played all the sports, right?
Yeah, I played track. I went, ran track for 2 years. Oh, yeah. It was fun. Golf, I even played golf. People don't know that after I got out of school.
Yeah.
But that is that's a tougher game than any of them.
Yeah, the skills are a little different for that one.
Oh, you can't get consistent.
So how did you guys do on your sports teams?
Well, that high school was down before I got there.
Mm-hmm.
The other schools were bigger, you know. They
right.
were like Christian Brothers, Sacramento High.
Oh, those are a lot bigger.
Yeah, but like Amador, that was a county high school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all we had is what was local. You didn't have the ballpark. But they did what they could. We lost ball games. We lost till my junior and senior year, then it turned. We were equal. We beat Sonora twice. With 16 ball players.
Wow.
Benny Vistagura just died. I remember he had. I was over there calling plays, and we had been running this off tackle, Rometty, right and left, right and left, right, moving it. He came back in the huddle. He says, "Hey, Fred, they've got 11 guys on the line." I says, "Okay, I remember the play yet. 120 long pass to the right end."
Yeah.
It was all alone. They come off the field, and I said, "We got these guys beat." Oh, yeah.
You had a pretty good career, though, in football.
Yeah, I did.
Because I saw a letter that you'd received offering you a scholarship.
Oh, yeah.
St. Mary's.
Yeah.
That's,
I went down there, and things just did not work. I had a mother alone draft, and they wanted to try to take care of that, but it just didn't work. I went down you ever heard of Herman Wiedemeyer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He was there. And he came in the office the day I was in there. And he says, "Hey, coach, today's payday." I never forgot that. And they just got back from the Cotton Bowl. So, some ways I'm glad it didn't happen. Some ways I'm sorry about it. Maybe I would have got racked up. I never did get racked up. Just had a hip pointer in 4 years.
Well,
I got knocked out three times. I probably had a concussion. In those days, didn't even know it.
I'm sure. But still, Fred, to be offered a scholarship at a school that's nationally ranked.
Yeah, I went.
I mean, they are ranked in the nation.
Well, that was like USC today.
Exactly.
Santa Clara, USF. All that.
Well,
it was big time football.
Well, same class as Notre Dame. All you guys,
right?
All put
it. It was big time football, and you know they have a play that they use up there. What they call it, hook and ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that's what St. Mary's used all the time?
No, I didn't know. That.
Right down the middle of the field, they'd throw a pass, and every player they'd hand it off. Every play they'd have. When you caught the pass, it was a handoff, all the way. That was good in those days.
Oh, yeah.
But now they use it once in a while up here. But
it's always
that's all they would do that. And there's I can't think of all the guys from Frisco I knew. Yeah.
So anyway, that's quite an honor. And I understand that, and I know for a fact you were in the Hall of Fame now for the Jackson Argonaut Ion Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Based on your football.
You know, at my age, people would think, well, what's that mean? To me, it means a lot.
Oh, it is a lot, though.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And the people I would like to have around to see this are all gone.
Yeah, that's the downside.
Yeah.
But it's only been around a couple of years,
yeah.
So for you to get in it, that's
yeah.
that's speaking pretty loud.
Yeah.
So yeah. congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, that's that was great. I really like enjoy that.
So with sports, you're able to travel around a little bit.
Well, in my days, there was no buses.
Oh, so everything's by car.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I drove, 16 years old, group of kids. Principal's car, some family car, girls. All kids drove.
Huh.
If we had had a crack up.
Oh, yeah.
The school wouldn't be there today. No, but we were all pretty well, you know, took care of ourselves and did right.
Is that what most schools did? Most schools used cars or did
well,
they have buses?
Well, this one, Santa Creek had some buses.
Oh, did they?
Shenandoah Valley and all that upcountry, mm-hmm. they were a county school, but we didn't have any buses. Till later, like, we went to play City College, Sacramento. And we went down in a bus, which was a local transportation bus going from Sacramento to Stockton or Sacramento to, or just out of Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He started this down on number one Main Street down there. Amateur Stage Line, you ever see
yeah,
that green
yeah,
bus?
Yeah.
That's where its franchise started.
I wondered about that.
His name was Smalley.
Smalley?
Smalley. And, of course, the building's different today. That bottom floor was a garage. Then if you ever look to the left side of
now,
there's
what,
a ramp.
Now, which place are we talking about?
Number one Main Street.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, I do.
Right across from the hotel. The
right,
first
right.
building. So that was Smalley's garage. And then he had a repair shop up on the second floor. But the building has an outcrop on it, steel, where they would drive cars up there.
Yeah, you can still see it.
Yeah. Later years, that became a bowling alley upstairs.
Oh, the bowling alley was upstairs?
Yep. And then John Pekovich bought it. But that's where this Smalley started his Stage Line. Jack Sutter, you know, he went to Sacramento and Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
He had two old buses. And that's how that franchise, you see it out on the road today. I don't know where the home headquarters is, but that's how it started, right there. No, we drove to the games. We'd take the kids, you know, we are all young kids.
Right.
Principal's car, or whoever. And they'd put gas in it so we could get there. There's only a couple of times I remember not with the kids. This one coach I had, he wanted to go see Sonora play Oakdale on a Friday night after our game or whatever, so we went over. And then he wanted to go home down in Hayward during the war. So this one female teacher went with us, and we were going down the road, and I says, young kid, I think I better drive. So we went down to Hayward to his home. It was right next to a rail line,
yeah,
freight line, during the war. I couldn't get sleep. Every 10 minutes there was a freight train coming by. Yeah, that was one of them. Then another one. I knew all these teachers. They were all good people.
Yeah.
We went to Sonora, got followed up in his car. Couldn't find him. 2 o'clock in the morning. There was four kids and him. Couldn't find him. 2 o'clock in the morning. So, Sonora Inn. You know what?
I did.
On the right out,
yeah.
There's an alley. So we're looking all over this town for this guy. We're going home. We can't leave him. Where is he? He was down there. He had a big police car. He wanted to take it home.
Oh, no.
So we got him home. And next day, that guy was right there in class. True blue. Never.
Act like nothing happened.
No, never. Never. There was a lot of stories I could tell you. It's cool. Jeez.
Yeah, those days are gone.
No. Oh, now you can't use words. You can't do this. Hell, everything was just normal for us. We
yeah.
thought, you know.
Yeah. Now, did most of the teachers that taught at the high school, did they stay there for or did they just kind of move on?
High school, they came and go.
Did they?
They just, it was grammar school, mostly they would hang in.
Mm-hmm.
But up there, there was, every year you'd see new faces. Because their salaries here were low.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd get they'd get their education and their experience. And they'd get offered a job at Marin County or something. They left.
Yeah.
I have to tell you this story about a young girl, freshman year. She was a teacher. She came in from the Bay Area or someplace. So it was a nice fall of the year day, and she wanted to go for a walk, take the class. Well, a class maybe 10, 12, 15. Stony Creek Road, from the school up, there was no houses. It was all sealed. So when we got up by those rock walls in the fall of the year, these plants had beautiful leaves turning color. She went and started picking them. We didn't see her another for 2 weeks. Oh, poison oak.
I was going to say.
Poison oak. She didn't know it. And we never said that. We said, what's the matter with her? I never forgot that one. I was a freshman. Oh, man.
You guys let her go ahead and pick him up.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want a dap okay. God. You know, we grew up with this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is.
Tell us, she wasn't from here.
No. No.
Any other teachers you can remember?
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Van Thiel. Everybody heard about her, I guess. Van Thiel? He was a music teacher for both schools.
Okay.
And she taught here. She taught for a long time. Larry Danilich. I admired him.
Now, he was a teacher and a coach, wasn't
he?
He's on the Hall of Fame, too.
Larry and... there's one, two older than me, I think. Larry and... can't think of his name. After me. After I was out of school. I think. That's his name. Oh, you know it.
No, I can't think of it either.
Oh, I know. I know who he is, but can't think of his name. I think he's a year older than me. But Larry was older. I've got Larry's book in 1930 when he graduated. Yearbook.
So, tell me. So, I know where the high school was. It's now the administration building.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you guys play your basketball games?
Sutter Creek.
You guys played basketball in Sutter Creek?
We had no gym.
Oh, okay.
So when they were through, we'd go over private cars
mm-hmm.
and practice. I love that gym over there.
Mm-hmm.
It burnt down.
Right. The old one
but
burnt.
It, the way it was built, and I knew the spots on the floor. That's a knot or whatever.
Yeah.
You never had to look at the back. You know, it's home court.
Yeah.
Now they polish them. You can't see any. We knew where the spot was for the basket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that gym. That's where we had to go. We had.
That was Amador much larger than you guys?
My senior year, I think we had 90 in school.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran around 150 or 60.
Yeah, that's quite a bit more.
Yeah, well, see, there was districts. Jackson District,
right.
Ione, and the rest went to the county ice over in Sutter Creek. That was all kind of county school.
So how was it playing in Ione?
Ione?
Mm-hmm.
As you go through the town, instead of going to the right towards Preston,
okay,
you kind of make a swing around there. Right there was a big town hall.
Oh, okay.
Like the hall that we're talking about, the Krabbenhof,
mm-hmm.
but that was one level. And that was a dance hall, public hall, and that's where we played basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were those guys any good? You remember any players from there?
Yeah, well, there was Scully. He went to St. Mary. I know some of them, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there was some. Bonham, he pitched for the Yankees. There's two or three of them. Oh.
Yeah, those are well-known names.
Yeah, and Gene Cronin, mm-hmm. He played for pro for Detroit, went down to Atlanta, business manager. And then there's like Sutterkirk, had Littlefield over there, kicked for Cal. Oh, we had a couple here. I forget his name. He played for the Raiders.
Vance Mueller.
Mueller?
Yeah, I was his coach.
You were his coach. Huh?
Yeah. And then you had the Perovich boys, right?
Two Perovich.
They went to Cal.
Yeah.
One was All-American.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all sorts of
talent.
Now, was there a big difference in Ione and Jackson and Sutter Creek and Plymouth? Is there? It's kind of hard for me to explain.
Population-wise?
Just attitude-wise or population or, I mean, could you really see much of a difference?
I can get into things, but I better not.
Okay, that's fine.
But
you know what I'm talking
about.
There
was different attitudes. There still is today, all my life. Mm-hmm. There's been an attitude. And it's still there today.
Yeah, I've seen that and I've heard that.
And it's even it gets into the personnel.
Mm-hmm.
My folks were teachers. I know this. It's still there today.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. So I better not talk anymore about
that.
Okay. But it's there.
Okay, so that's something that's always been in the county.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's...
that since you've been here.
Instinct or human beings or whatever. Oh, yeah, when I got into high school, it started quieting down, but they used to have rallies for mm-hmm. the big game. They'd pick all the junk up they could for weeks. Might be 10, 30 feet high, pile it all up, tires, anything they could. They have a big rally. They'd set it off, you know.
Yeah.
Only thing wrong, one of the other school, the kid come over about 3 days before and set it off.
Oh, it started the fire early.
Oh, that was just one thing. My brother come home. He was 4 years older than me and had a broken hand. Told my mother he was going in the theater and the door slammed on. He got in a big fight.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, it was bad, though. I saw things I never forgot. You know, I see a barber over there, you know, the sidelines, big game. I was a little kid. I was 4 years younger. My brother got to the sideline, rolled or something. I see this goddamn barber kick my brother.
Really?
Yep.
Kicked him. An adult kicked a kid.
I never forgot it. I took it out on them. I really did. They call me a dirty player, but I never did clip anybody or try to break a leg. I put them out.
Mm-hmm.
One poor big turkey. We used to hit it. No arm tackling. Put the body, put the shoulder right into his esophagus.
Yeah.
And I heard this air. He didn't move. I thought I killed him.
Yeah.
Well, then he came out of it. It scared me. There was big rival. Well, there still is today, but they talk to each other in those days.
Yeah, well, it's...
I know a lot of the kids from over there. Sammy Lugana.
So you didn't go to Sutter Creek unless you had to, huh?
Nope. I went south or west or someplace.
I bet you they felt the same.
And they had a lot of boys from Plymouth, you know, went to school. Mm-hmm. They were Slavs. And they were mean.
Yeah.
Martin Ure was a good friend of mine. I got him kicked out. I didn't know it. I made a tackle on him, and he'd come up like with his fist, motioning.
Mm-hmm.
He got kicked out of the ball game.
You shouldn't have done that.
Well, I learned hard as a freshman. Playing corner. We're playing Sutter Creek. Well, I'm a freshman out there. And they didn't pass in those days. Not very much.
Right.
So, boy, I'm ready to come up and make a tackle. Here goes the ball over my head. Here's a receiver 10 yards behind me.
Oh.
And the ball was 10 yards over his head.
Oh, thank goodness, huh?
Okay. Second half, same dang thing. I'm going in to make a tackle. Receiver's going down, the ball clear over his head. So in the fourth quarter, they had scored, and it was an extra point. They went for a pass right on my corner and knocked it down. In 4 years, I never had another ball completed around me.
Really?
Yep. Well, then I moved up to linebacker, too. Mm-hmm. But I never had a ball completed. I learned a good hard lesson.
Funny.
Yeah.
Hey, where'd you guys play your football games?
We played daytime.
Where?
Here, Butte Bowl.
Oh, you played at the Butte Bowl?
Butte Bowl.
Okay.
Daytime. All our games. We play, I forget where we play nights. We played a night game in Sonora. They had light. That was probably our first.
Now, your big game rally, where's your bonfire at?
Well, like I said, there was nothing from the football field. There was no houses.
Mm-hmm.
So they had an area with like where the tennis courts are now on a junior.
Oh, okay.
So they would
that area.
Take a piece of area there and work on it. There's some pictures in the annual, though. Oh, yeah. They'd come over. Well, I guess they got into it last year up here, paint. But anyhow, they'd come over and set it off, or we'd go over there and set it off.
Now, was there a downtown rally and all sorts of stuff? Because when I came up here in 80, we did a big downtown rally. Traditionally, this had been going on for a long time.
It has, but I don't remember it before I got in school, in the high school. I remember they had big rallies. But nothing on, that I can remember on Main Street. Then they started Main Street. I don't remember going on Main Street.
And I know the quarterback club was real big.
Yeah. Well, I was at the a major member, first member, charter member.
Mm-hmm.
I was a charter athlete when that was created.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You created out there Paletti's, Gotelli. Sriracha,
mm-hmm.
that dining room.
Mm-hmm.
Local guys were all having dinner, and they came up with the idea of a quarterback club.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
right there.
I was at that dinner when they started it. I was playing ball, high school. I remember that.
I think they said John Hubbardy was like the first
John
president.
Yeah, John. There was. Oh, I can't think of all the guys. John got really into it, and his brother, Babe Gabberini.
Mm. Yeah, Babe Gabberini is one of the first people I met up here, and then
mm-hmm.
got a haircut, Frank Torrich Sr., in that barbershop.
Yeah, and that was Valvold's.
Right.
That's the ones that lived next to me all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Got anything you want to fire at me?
Oh, I do. I got all sorts of stuff.
Hey, we want to take a break?
If you want to
take Vera. What? We're going to take a break. You want to take a break with us?
Yeah.
Okay, you pour. Yeah, we're going to try that bottle.
Fred, we took a nice little break here with your wife, Vera, and we had some biscotti and some wine, so I'm ready to kick it again, buddy.
So, you know, we've talked a little bit about actually a lot of different things, but I'm kind of curious, you're talking about, you know, your school days and stuff. What were some of the typical activities you did when summer school? I mean, when summer came around, there is no school. What were some of the things you and your buddies used to do?
My summers were during the Second War, World War, and we all tried to go to work, help them out. At 16, I was helping build a sawmill in West Point. First day on the job, foreman come to me and asked me to go up on his gallows frame and take down a chain. I said, all right, I'll think nothing, like a monkey.
Well,
I was just getting ready to go and he stopped me. He said, no, you better not. What did I do wrong? So I talked to a fellow worker and he says, what were you going to do? I says, I'm going up to take that chain down. He says, they killed a guy up there yesterday.
Oh.
Swung another truss into him, knocked him off. Three stories up.
3 stories?
Yep.
You would have had to climb up 3 stories?
Yeah, you'd go up just, well, I was like a kid like a monkey.
Yeah.
I was going to go right up the rafter, or the truss. 3 stories up, that's the top of the saw, the top of the band mill.
Right.
Way up where they have the saw. But that's what we did. We found jobs around to help. You know, there was most of the guys were being drafted, so we tried to pick it up in the summer. We worked.
So, Fred, does that mean that when during the war years there was a lack of manpower because a lot of people went off to the war?
Well, they were being drafted right out from under you.
Right.
And so the older people were working. Women were working, box factories, Toyon, and like I was a young kid. And then I helped in the mill, worked out there, and we'd work almost all summer. Glad to get back to school.
School was a good break, huh?
Yeah. It wasn't easy.
No.
But that's what we did. Well, we had our playtime, too. Fishing, whatever. But we always had our dances every Saturday night, some locale around the county or in the neighboring county.
Where were some of the places you went for these dances?
Well,
where were they held
in,
at?
In Jackson, there was Krabanoff Hall, Love's Hall, Eagles Hall.
Now, where's Love's Hall and Eagles Hall?
Okay. Love's Hall is right where Country Casuals is.
Oh, okay.
There was a beautiful dance floor all on the street level.
Uh-huh.
Burned down. Eagles Hall is right above, what's underneath it? Where the Leisure Dispatch used to be. Who owns that now? Anyhow, it was upstairs there, right? Across from Sammy's upstairs.
Okay.
There's a name, but I can't think of it. That was Eagles Hall up there.
There's a jewelry store or something.
There's something under there.
Pawn shop.
George Sosman had a garage right next to it there. And this building is still there. It's upstairs, Eagles Hall. And in Sutter Creek, you had the town hall, we call it. Plymouth, they had a hall. Ione had a hall. San Andreas had a hall. So McCallamy Hill had one. They still have them, the ones I was danced in.
Now, the Sutter Creek, is that the Civic Center now?
Yeah,
the Civic Center.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's been there a long time.
Yeah, it looks like it. It's well cared for, and it's used
all the
time.
Well, they want that antique look.
Yeah. Well, they got it.
Yeah. But they'd always have a local band or orchestra.
Right.
They'd all play live music. Last till about 2 o'clock in the morning. Then they'd all go to the restaurants, local restaurants. Have bread of veal cutlets or rib steak.
Where's the local restaurants? Where were they?
Well, the bars.
Oh, okay.
The Louver, Rex.
Now, where was the Louver at?
The Louver was downstairs, underneath what Wells Fargo Bank today, the parking lot.
Sure.
It was underneath. Mm-hmm. Well, where Wells Fargo Bank is today was a hotel, 3 stories. The bricks of my fireplace came from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, there was a narrow alley there. And if to the right, there's a door today that goes down to a gift shop or something. That was the bank club down there.
Oh.
And then, I forget the bars. We had 30 bars or so. Main Street. But it was never anything big problems like you have today. You know, they I think it's the news media, for one thing. If something happened, you didn't hear about it again.
Right, right. Yeah. So, in high school, you're out on a, taking a date out. Where would you go to dinner, or go to the movie?
The movies, mostly.
Yeah.
Because it cost 15 cents to grade school, and high school was 25 cents.
Oh.
And we did not have the 25 cents. But with a date, we'd go to the movies, and then they'd have the ice cream shops across the streets, and we'd go in the ice cream parlors. There was two of them in Jackson.
So where was the movie at?
The movie houses, my first, when I was I couldn't read, little kid, is where that empty lot is right now, where they have that big picture of the scene.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That was the first one. Silent Movies. That's where I went. Charlie Chaplin. I used to go with my brother. He could read.
Yeah, and so yeah. He'd read the subtitles.
So I'd tell him to read. Hey, give me some. He said, tell me to shut up. So that has been there many, many years. They went into talking pictures there.
Yeah.
So up the street where the parking lot is at El Dorado today.
Okay.
That's where they built the new theater. It was something.
Where the parking lot is.
Where the parking lot is. They called it the Amateur Theater. And I was young. Bill Tam, who had the clothing store, it was him and his partners, they built it. I think it was in the 30s. So when we went into this, went nice big lobby, then you went in an incline and seats down, clear to the stage, balcony. Man, it was something, all color.
That sounds color. Nice.
First night in there, we went down, little kids, we're sitting near the front. We didn't know how to get out of there. You know, there was like a tunnel. And we said, how do we get out of this? And that opening night, there was a local girl, she lived right up here. Cuneo is her name. And she sang a song, as I don't remember, but she died very young after that.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was the two theaters. And across the street was Stagies, ice cream and homemade, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then soda fountain type of place?
Yeah. They'd have Spagnoli's down the street where the young girls would work from high school.
Now, where's that? What's that?
That would be right next to the Rex, between there and the butcher shop at Raggio's, which is, what do they call it today? Yeah, sandwiches.
By the Lord Market?
Yeah. That was Raggio's butcher shop.
Okay.
And it was right next to it, Spagnoli. She was a elderly woman. Hired all the high school girls. They were all good looking. That's why they drew business.
It worked, huh?
It worked. Yeah, and, you know, went to ball games, played. But we were all happy. Cars. They always had a Model A or something.
Now, where JB's is today, was that a soda fountain also? Or, because it's two stories in there.
You got me on this one. Wait a minute.
You know which place I'm talking about?
Across the street?
Mm-hmm.
That was a Workman's clothing store.
Oh, was it?
For miners.
Okay.
Clothes, their hats, their lamps.
So a miner could get whatever they needed in there.
They would, yeah, they needed the lamps, the clothing, the boots. And then, like on Main Street, there, between there, and there was a bar next to it, of course, Tuffinelli. Had a boxing ring in the back where they would train.
Where was that at?
Right, the next one down the south.
Okay.
And then they had a boxing ring. But they had Max Baer up here and some
pro fighters, boxers, and they went to the Krabanoff in the big hall. There's pictures of that.
I heard there was boxing in there.
Yeah, they set up a ring, you know.
Did Max Baer box up there?
He was more like an official.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, geez, he had a hand like a bear. So then down the street there was Juicy Shoe Repair, and next was Tam Clothing, and the next was a Petrovich food store where Sue's shop is.
Uh-huh.
Then where that empty parking lot is, there was a building there. There was no...
Oh, really?
It was all buildings on that street.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Another bar. Uh-huh. A barber shop. And next to that, the building today, Petrovich Bakery.
So that's always been a bakery, then?
French bread. And, oh. Yeah, more or less. Next to that was Evesich Bar. Then next to that was Spagnoli. No, no, Spagnoli's on the street. What the heck was in it? Another ice cream parlor. I think I forget his name. Then next to that was a Jewish shoe shop.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Then on down.
And you got Garibaldi's. Is that always
Garibaldi? Never was in that.
Oh.
Can't remember what that was. But then you had the hotel. And that was a restaurant down on the bottom of the corner, and it was all hotel upstairs. I can't remember that name. Then across the street, you know, you had Court Street. That was the only street that came into town. All the rest was balconies.
Oh, I didn't
like Senator.
Oh.
And you had a drugstore, Briscoe's. Then you had another bar.
And this is across the street then?
Right down on the east side.
Okay.
And then there was two stores. Cuneo had a men's store and a woman's store, side by side. Then down where you got the Radulov's Butcher Shop, there was another store, in there, maybe a jewelry store. But then there was Radulov's Butcher Shop. Oh, that was back up the street, I remember. But Radulov's Butcher Shop, they had their property out here at Jackson Gate, Radulov Road.
Mm-hmm.
They had all that clear up to the Ridge Road.
That's a lot of property.
They raised beef. But they did not feed them alfalfa. They come right off the ranch. They had a slaughterhouse. Then they'd take them down to the butcher shop and hang half a beef up. And they had hand saws, no electric.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go in and what you wanted, beefsteak or whatever, chops. They take the piece down and cut it off for you, right in front of you. And up the street, where I couldn't remember, by that candy shop or ice cream parlor, was Thomas Butcher Shop.
Oh, you had two butcher shops in the same block?
Butcher shop.
Huh.
That's all there was. Well, all the business was on Main Street.
I guess
this butcher shop at Thomas, out where New York Ranch Road, where you have all the fitness and all that. That country did not look like that.
Mm-hmm.
They landscaped it, but there was a slaughterhouse and a ranch there, and that's where they raised their cattle, and they did the same as Rogers. Bring it in right off. It was lean meat. There was hardly any fat.
Huh. That's interesting.
Pigs. Yeah. I used to watch them slaughter the pigs and cut the hair. So that anyway, down the street from Razul was the Rex, coffee shop and bar, gambling. Then the next down was Valve's Barber Shop. Then you had the Dispatch in there for a while. Then the next one down was where Safeway was. Voss had a plumbing later. Then Sammy Yip started his Chinese restaurant. And down below that was Villa Sporting Goods.
Mm-hmm.
Shells, guns. And then next was Mrs. Depew. She owned the waterworks in Jackson.
Oh.
And that was the office where you paid your bill.
Mm-hmm.
So
So then they went around the street. They called it Wells Fargo, but that it was a different. They gave me that name. I asked for it, and it wasn't. That was where Janakio, many years before, had a store where he sold everything. You know, he had whatever he wanted. He had it in there. So that was down that side of the street, the west, the east side. On the west side, on the corner, was the post office.
Really? Post office was there?
Mm-hmm. The next belonged to Masons, that building.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does today. Then you're getting towards the National. They had a bar downstairs. And they had a lot of bars. Then they had the hotel. Then you went across by Smalley Alley there, and you had Smalley's Garage. Then from Smalley's Garage coming up the west side.
Now, you told me earlier today, I think, that above Smalley's then became what?
Smalley had a garage, and the mechanical work was done upstairs.
Okay.
And he had a ramp up, but later years it became a bowling alley upstairs.
Was that the first one in the city?
Yeah,
in the city?
The first bowling alley we ever had around here. Huh, they had six alleys. So then you had a hotel, Workman Hotel or something, which they tore down, it was all made up breakfast. So when I have my fireplace breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the Bank of Amador. And under the Bank of Amador, like the basement, was the Lure. That's where a lot of it go for after dances. Next to it, downstairs, was a bank club. On top was a smoke shop. Right next to it was where the ledger office was, where they printed it. They had a mm-hmm. printing press. Then going up the street on that side, Sosman had a garage. You drove in, but it was open all the way through. And the Eagles Hall was above that, right above the Sosman's. Then you come up the street, you had Casanelli's grocery store. What's there today? Antique shop?
Yeah.
That was Casanelli. They were, lived on Broadway, the big mansion. Mm-hmm. They had a grocery store there. Then up the street, before you got to Love's Hall, there's something in there. Oh, another drugstore. Peter's drugstore. We had two. One corner, one across the street. Drugstore, then there was Love's Hall. When they tore it out, they built a Five and Dime store brand new. Mm-hmm. Just as they got completed, it burned down.
Really? As soon as they finished it?
Yep. They had to rebuild it. I was in grade school, I remember that. Then coming up the street, you had the bottle shop. That had been there forever. But they built the post office there where Angie's Clothing is,
mm-hmm.
was. That was a post office. New one. From there up, they had the bottle shop. They had a barber shop. They had the cleaners, which is still there. There's a spot there, I don't know. And then where that parking lot is, was the theater. In the old days, where El Dorado Savings is, the next building going north on the west side was a big barn.
A barn?
A barn. Oh, that's right. I remember today, the doors of just a barn. And Pete Podesta, he had cows out Jackson Gate. He'd take his pail and go out and milk and bring it back. Back where they built that new post office, there was a house there, picket, steel picket with a lawn. I remember that building. I forget who, Little Doom. I remember that building. And then going up the street there, where the barn, this barn was, they tore it out and put in a store, Purity Store. First store like that in this county. They all were family stores.
Mm-hmm. So Purity was a chain, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't even hear about them today. Probably gone. And then, let's see, what are we doing up here? There's a spot there. Well, then there was a... Oh, there was another workman bar, and then you had the old theater, where it's a vacant lot today.
Right.
Yeah, then you had Spinetti's.
Now, was it all Spinetti's when you were there?
That was their new store.
That was their new one, huh?
Yeah, they had old store down the street, all wood frame, but they built that. And sometimes, if you ever look at that building, look up on top, there's four marble urns.
Really?
Yeah. You can see them from my window. You look up there, right on the ledge, top ridge, you look, you see, all, they're beautiful. They look like they belong in a mausoleum. Anyhow, from the Spinetti's, there was a drugstore, Tam's drugstore. Top was a Wilton dentistry. Then there was a garage they drove in. Then it was Podesta Electric Shop, where Jim is today.
Mm-hmm.
Then up above that was DMV. That's where I got my driver's license.
Oh, really? DMV is right next to
it? Right there. Took him for a ride, and he says, park on Main Street. Well, Main Street in those days, everybody double parked or whatever, like Italy. So I pulled up. He wanted me to park, had a back in. He almost jumped out of the car. I was going to hit something. 16 years old.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I got my driver's license. But in later years, they moved out and PG&E put their main office in there.
And then when I moved here, PG&E was there. Yeah.
And then...
Was that fire station always there?
The fire station was always on the corner. Volunteer. Mm-hmm. They had a big high tower there and one up by our courthouse, by the church on the building.
Oh.
When there was a fire, they'd push a button and those two sirens would go off.
Oh, wow.
And they'd go off according to code. You had a readout home, what street and how many pushes, or what, two longs and a short and three longs, told you where the fire was.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they had two old fire. One was an antique, I can remember, but they had a modern one. I think it was a Studebaker, and every time there was no Main Street bypass. So you'd go down Main Street to go out to Broadway, and they'd have to go up by the Bank of America today.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they started up that hill with 500 gallons of, they'd break an axle.
Really?
Yeah.
On the way to the fire?
On the way to the fire.
Oh, shit.
They were overloaded. And that's where the firehouse was, right there, and it was it's what they had.
Yeah.
A lot of places burned down, but there was no way to put them out anyhow. And I don't remember fire hydrants. Not in those early days. Yeah. There was fire hydrants later.
Yeah, that's funny.
Excuse me, but can I get you guys something to eat? I can give you some leftover.
Leftover?
Pasta.
Oh, yeah, he'd like pasta. You like pasties?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll fire it up.
It's just some onion left over that I made.
What other choice do we have?
Or I made chicken noodle soup.
Oh, that's for a sick person. Yeah, you're not sick, are you?
No, I'm good. I'm okay.
Try the pasties, girl.
Oh, but I have to put the microwave on.
Go ahead.
It didn't hurt anything.
We'll take a break.
Okay.
Anyhow, you see where the Shell station was in those days is where today they had an insurance company there. Now it's real estate, I think, right on the corner.
Oh, right, Davenport.
That's been there all night. Do you know the creek goes all underneath that
plaza? I do know that, yeah.
And that Shell station had been there for years and years. Fancher was the owner. And across the street, they call it the cellar. And it came in right near the end of gambling days. It was down. I think they have a beauty shop or something in there.
Oh, okay.
And they put a bar in and everything, and they
It's close to
right across
Bella Rosa.
Yeah, right underneath, though. The steps go down.
Okay.
That was a new deal. And in those days, if you came off over the hill by the Argonaut and looked towards Jackson, all you saw was a streak of neon lights.
Oh,
it's just like downtown Reno.
Yeah.
That's what they used to call a little Reno. Anyhow, in this place, so when it opened up, they all had to have a fancy sign or something. They had this girl in a cocktail glass with a, like we'd call a bikini today.
Yeah.
Well, some of the local women raised hell if they can take it out.
That's fine because you had the Bordellos.
Oh, yeah, but these are new people that came in.
Yeah.
And the woman, oh, no, you can't have that. Then we had our crap. There was two homes there and then Krabanoff building. But and then there was a gas station between Krabanoff and down at BJ's and all that. There was a mobile gas station right on Main Street.
Now, I was told at one time that the city police chief always lived, whoever it was, always had to stay in the same place. And it's where Bella Rosa is now, before that, Magdalena's.
Well, that was Tuffinelli.
Oh.
Tuffinelli lived up the street, and they took care of that hotel that burned down.
Okay.
But that was Sanguinetti, and the next neighbor was a distributor of gasoline and oil, Santifo. Mm. But later years, that's where he lived. I mean, then they had some that lived up Clinton Road. And Maggi, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was chief when all the problems were going on. But they never had a problem, really, when Maggi was chief of police. But then our sheriff was Luco for many, many years.
So, you were born in the 20s.
Seven.
And so you knew a lot of World War One veterans?
Well, my dad.
Uh-huh. Your dad was...
But all his friends, they were still alive in one night.
Right, right.
See, I can remember back before I started first grade, 33, 34.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember that before that. And they went and had masquerade balls at these dance halls. They'd all deck out. A lot of them had dressed like soldiers or whatever, skiers.
Mm-hmm.
But all those World War One guys were still alive. I knew a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were, yeah.
Did you hear a lot of stories about those guys?
That war, it was like the Indians taught the English how to fight.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't walk out in front of a gun. You hide behind a rock. And that's what happened over there. And then they had... Like our Tommy bomb, they had gas.
Right.
And that was unbelievable. Then they come out with a gas mask. But they had trenches dug.
Right.
So they get by the trench and head through the other trench. And they'd come back and hit. They're crazy. It's like a revolution. The Indians told them, get behind a tree.
Yeah, you won't.
But that's what the World War... My dad was in the... what division? Transfer. He was hauling ammunition and all that.
Right.
But those old trucks that were up to the front, and that wasn't a very good war. I tell you that. A lot of them got killed. Over what? He had his bayonet, his helmet, his gas mask. A lot of us came home with. But then they had American Legion after that, you know, and they'd have big doings, parades.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's all faded now.
Yeah, I know when all the soldiers came home after World War One, then the great flu pandemic hit everybody. And I know this county was hit pretty hard, too.
Okay.
In the beginning of World War One, my aunt, who was a school teacher, Zaccone, taught sixth grade Jackson High School, or grammar school. She was going with this Cuneo up by Clinton, the boy, and he was drafted, and he was sent from California to New York or New Jersey, and he was the first one to die in Amador County, but he died from the flu, and he was the first one lost. That flu
actually killed more soldiers than the war killed.
In this climate we have here, we get out of here and we're acceptable to germs. We don't have it resistant. You think you do, but you don't. We live a nice, mild life. But in this town, I've seen malaria in this town.
Malaria?
Malaria.
Really?
Yeah. Our sewage system only came off the hill to the creek.
Oh.
So the whole creek was the sewage system.
And when you say creek, which one are you talking about?
The main, well,
Jackson.
Three creeks.
Main. Oh,
you
okay.
You got the North Fork.
Right.
Middle Fork and South Fork. And that's where they everything dumped. And my uncle had malaria. There was malaria in this town. Diphtheria. I had it.
You had diphtheria?
Not bad. Jack Matley lived down the street from me, had it bad. I lived on Stasel Avenue, and we had milk. In those days, they did not pasteurize milk because they didn't know how to pasteurize.
Right.
But our milk came in like a quart with a belly on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the top was always cream, raw milk. Real good milk. So he picked up a big fever and were over about 104.5, and I was about 102. Kids.
Right.
But so they were checking things out and tested, and they said it's coming from that milk. Well, then they went back right down here where Amador is, and there used to be a field there, and the guy had cows, and he milked them and peddled the milk. Well, they checked the cows, couldn't find it. They checked him, couldn't find it. So they were stumped. So they go back and check the owner, who was the milker. He was a germ carrier.
Really?
And never knew it.
Oh, my goodness.
Diphtheria. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. It was some world around here.
So when we come...
Oh, okay. Taking a break here.
Taking another break.
One plus one.
Well, we just had a wonderful lunch, and now we're back at it. And one of the things I want to talk to you about is has to do with... We have a large Italian population and a large Serbian population and a pretty large Native American population at one time. Do you remember any special events? We talked about the Italian picnic. Do you remember any special events that, let's say, the Serbians partook in?
I lived with them, grew up with them. Their Christmas was unbelievable.
Yeah.
We had a family next door. Serbian Christmas, everything is laid out on the table. Everyone in the neighborhood is welcome to come in. They go to church. They really celebrate their Christmas. You know, they have as far as dancing and partying, I don't remember much of that, but boy, their Christmas was something else.
I know that Bo Gilman's trying to get some of the things coming back that he was told about. And now I know that one of the traditions for the New Year with their calendar is the firing of shotguns. You remember that going on?
Oh, yeah. That, in their religion or in
believes
that represents some part of their scriptures. Let me tell you a funny story about that.
Yeah.
You know Gilman's Restaurant?
Right.
One Christmas, they were having a big banquet downstairs. And most people know Ned Vukovich, who he was.
Right.
And, you know, I went to school with him. He had a shotgun. And he was walking around the north side of the building, and his daughter was walking in front of him. He fired two or three rounds in the air. Safeway's store was located right across the creek there. In the parking lot was two deputies from Palo Alto.
Oh.
They saw that. They called 911. Some guy's chasing a woman with a shotgun shooting at her.
Oh, that's funny.
That happened after they built this new restaurant down here.
Yeah, but isn't it when that's when all the Mexicans ran for cover?
Oh, down there? All the workers, they thought it was a raid without papers, and
right.
They all took off. No, that was one of their funny stories.
So that's one couple guys up there that didn't know the tradition.
They didn't know. They come out in the area. Someone firing shots in the air. Well, now they warn them. They get it on the news and let them know they're going to shoot in the air. And people don't get too upset.
You remember that as a kid, though? Waking up to that stuff?
Next door, I don't remember the guns, because they didn't have guns and all that heavy shooting. That seems to me that more later years. All I remember is the meals they used to have. Strudel and all. A
lot of goat, I hear.
Well, that was their main dish.
Right.
Goat, but they made all these other fancy dishes to go with it. They really celebrate their Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was there any other... Now, I know at one time, Jackson itself had they called it Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a large influence of Chinese when you were here then?
It was before really my time.
Uh-huh.
But along the creek right here, where Mills Diner is, all that creek, there was shacks all along the creek. And I remember before the bypass was put in Main Street, you went down the alley by the Lure, and there was a wood bridge that came over here to Peaks Hill, and there was a Chinese laundry there.
Oh, okay.
And we were kids. We'd come up here. We'd run like heck afraid of China, I guess. Yeah.
So a little bit was there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of China in here. They built the canal that PG&E had for water, now the Amateur, they said it was dug with 3,000 Chinamen. And where I am, where I go through my property, where they come through the granite and how they sliced it by hand, unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that they also had a religious temple here, and it was located kind of, you certainly can correct me, but I heard it was close to where the Shell station is today.
It was around here, but that was before my time, too.
Okay.
And right... That piece of property right there where Amateur Bank was parking lot,
right,
the
there
was a Catholic church there.
Catholic church was there?
Yeah.
Burned
down.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And across the road was a hotel. And going up the hill to the grammar school in that corner up by Stasel, there was a church there on the left. I remember walking by it going to school, and I forgot what religion it was.
Was it Jewish?
I think it was.
Because I know there's a Jewish
and they
monument.
They walked away from it. Because I remember going in red, man, all these colors and velvet light.
I know there's a Chinese Chinese graveyard right next to the elementary school, right in front of the bus garage. Do you know anything about that?
That's the one I dug through.
I know. So that's what you were talking about, right?
I didn't want to get into that.
Well, but...
But that's where we... And there's no record of that.
There kind of is.
Well, when they put the garage in, they built the road right through it.
I know they did, yeah.
And we had to put a water line in. So...
Because my students at Argonaut were supposed to do a monument for them, and we'd come up with the plans, but we didn't have the money. Rancheria donated a little bit of money, actually $1,000, so we got a monument plaque that the Historical Society is going to put up.
Oh.
But when you mentioned the cloth, I...
See, I can remember back when I was going to school, the two big old school buildings, that was all vacant. There was nothing, no buildings, and then you come into the cemetery.
Right.
But that was just vacant.
Because there's nothing, you know, really showing that that's what was there. Unless
that's what happened to my grandfather. The one was taken out where the miners are buried in Long Catholic, where they have it all laid out. My grandfather is on one end. My mother always thought, and she would put flowers. They lived up country, and they never come into town, but they had a wood marker.
Uh-huh.
But in those days, it came to the cemetery, they burned it.
Oh, really?
Yep, burned the marker. So we have no headstone or anything, exactly where he is.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's...
Did you tell him about your grandfather's house up on Highway 88? He was burned out twice.
He built three houses that's still standing. You know
where his dad was born?
No, he wasn't born there.
Oh,
that house. No, that's a new house. My grandfather came over and homesteaded
little.
Up there. They call French Garden, but Italian, where they grew this. He built one big frame house
right there at the French Gardens, where you talked about earlier.
Up
further. Okay.
Yeah. You go by it.
Brick house.
Brick house and the big old house.
And the big two-story house.
Okay.
That's the one that ran.
Oh.
But he owned all the way up the creek. So he had built one up, and then he built a new one, then he built another one. He built this one. But he got burned out from the other ones at the fire. Well, my grandmother says, built this new one, no electricity and no fire in that building, the wood building. They built the brick building for the fireplace and where they fed. They had long tables, like, fed 20 people at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But the house where they slept had no heat and no water.
Two separate places, right?
Yeah, they're. You got the two-story and then
about
the wood.
This far between them.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wouldn't let them put anything in. They're going to burn her out again.
Yeah, I've gone by it a million times, and I was told that one was for the kitchen and all that,
yeah.
And the other was for that sleeping quarters, living quarters. I didn't know why it was.
They
that
had
way.
A dirt floor.
But the wind, I've talked to some of his cousins that lived there.
Grew up.
And they said, when she built a new house, I said, were you going to have a fireplace? She says, absolutely not. She says, I had enough of that when I was young. She
darned.
Said, we had no heat in the house, and she said, we had all those homemade quilts or blankets,
right.
You know, that were made from old jackets and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, they were so heavy, but we had to put all those on top of our bed to keep us warm.
Oh, that's
she
interesting.
Said it was terrible. So
yeah.
She said, no way, she's going to have the heat pump and have everything so she can turn it on and be warm.
That makes sense. I've always wondered about that place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now
yeah.
I know.
That building...
Well, there were a couple
of
families that lived there, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, yeah, they all grew up there, all but our folks. They pulled out, and my other uncle pulled out. But that building, the lumber has no knots in it.
None?
None.
Really? It's all heart?
It's
no
all
knots.
Clear.
Wow.
All this wall.
Yeah. They pointed that out, and I looked at it many times.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I remember going in with my grandmother, like in the hot summer. They'd be in that living room, chandelier. They'd have water, put it on the floor someplace to cool it off. But no heat, no plumbing, no electric. And then they had their funeral for baking their bread was over on the other side of the road. See, in those days, it's like this road. The road was never like it is. It was a little came right by the house.
Right.
So when they put that super in there, they brought all that dirt in, but their blacksmith shop and everything was on the other side of the road. Well, it was just across the trail.
Oh, that's good. Do you remember any special events or anything going on with the Miwok Indians? Did you have any kids that you knew were Miwok in your schools?
We had an Indian. In those days, there was Indian Charlie. He lived out, they used to call it the reservation, Past Larry's Truck Shop. It's not an Indian reservation, they found out.
Mm-hmm.
The Indians did live there. Indian family. We had Indian Charlie. He'd come in and eat with us. But you know, there wasn't that many. When they made this reservation
off in New York Metro.
Yeah, the 300 and some acres. But there was only maybe a little old family. I can't think of. It'll come to me.
Was it Darryl?
No, Darryl was out here. Anyhow, there was a family of Indians, but that's all there was. So then, that was for years.
Mm-hmm.
Then, modern times, they built a house out here by the county road. And one year, they had to go in with dump trucks, cost them $10,000 to haul the junk up.
Mm-hmm.
They dumped everything upside down. And that's when Margaret came in. I think they moved to the back house, and she got on this and started this. She saw what was going on at the chicken ranch over by Sonora.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And she come out with a Quonset hut. And then she had a bunch of crooks that wanted to. Oh, they were just taking her. But she's the one that got it started. Oh, that name is right away. I can't think of it. Indians. There wasn't that many Indians that I can remember. There was only a few living on a reservation.
Now, the main reservation was, there was one in Ione that's a pretty good size, wasn't there? Or was there?
Well, they have a tribe down there with about 500 members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ione.
And they have a piece of ground out there by the coal mine or whatever. The
Buena Vista area?
Yeah. Where they want to put that casino.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a big following down there. Up here, she took them most in. They didn't have anything to build them a house, took care of them. And she watched them. That's why she put the gates in, keep alcohol away from them. Well, she did good. For the where they were from where they started. But there wasn't that many Indians that I can remember.
So when we look at ethnic groups, it's primarily Italian and Serbian, as you recall. That had a history here.
And Americans.
Right, right.
But foreigners, Italians and Slavs, well, then you had Irish and
sure, you have
everything
else. Yeah.
But they kind of grouped them in this area for the mines.
Now, I understand that most people that worked in the mines actually lived close enough where that everybody walked to work and walked back. Is that true?
True.
Okay.
As a kid, I can remember when the wheels were running, their big water wheels that they used. The road to Sutter Creek went out Jackson Gate and around. They had a road that went up to the mine, but it was for log teams to bring timber in.
Mm-hmm.
They ran three shifts. They never shut down. And the boarding houses, most of them were on North Main Street, where they came in and meals and where they slept and everything. You could watch them walking, one shift coming off and one shift going back, up and down the trail. They had no cars, and there was no place to park. But you could see them walking.
Right.
They would be going back and forth to work. That's when this town was a roar. Just not a big, just a rumble, steady rumble.
those miners, they had it tough. But it was a living.
Right.
No, they walked. They had their lunch buckets look like a 6-inch piece of pipe up and was round on top where the soup went in, and they carried that with them in and out of the mine.
Now I understand, and I've read this or I've seen it or heard it, that the largest grower of canaries actually lived in Jackson.
That was my cousin.
Oh, and that's true.
That little girl they showed when they had the mine disaster, they would let a bird down, a canary.
Right.
There's no oxygen, and when they pulled it up, it was dead. They know that a human being's going to go down. They have a picture of my first cousin giving up her little canary bird.
Who is this,
Ruth.
Oh, Ruth.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Ruth Jones.
I didn't remember.
Married to my aunt. So they would lower the bird down, and if it came back alive, they knew the air was good. I mean, it is straight down the shaft, 600-800 feet. Come back dead, they knew they had that bad air gas.
I had heard that somebody, they always said South Jackson, raised around 600 canaries a year for the mines.
They could have, but I don't remember.
Okay.
That.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean,
yeah, I they could have.
Things I've heard. So
I would have.
But you knew someone was growing.
Yeah, there is a picture in one of the books.
Yeah.
Shows your little girl giving up her canary bird after the fire. 22.
So, to your knowledge, other than the Argonaut and the Kennedy, what other mines were putting out a lot of gold that you can recall?
There was other big mines in Jackson. Xylee Mine.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Xylee Field, where we played baseball and football. That was a big mine.
And you played football and baseball there?
I did. It was before. But I chased balls out there. Going to Crick. There was the Alma mine right up by Fred's, south of Fred's there.
What was it called?
Alma. So
okay.
There's a street named after that up there.
Oh, I'll look for it.
And then up on the Argonaut mine, this side was Maldoon shaft. There was another shaft. And then there was a lot of little diggings. You know, they'd find quartz and they'd go up. You go towards Center Creek, you know, Central, clear to Plymouth, the Empire. But there was mines all over. But these two big ones, they were on a big course. They had hit good course. They had all their drifts.
Mm-hmm.
The Xylee mine was a big mine at one time, but it petered out.
That's not that far.
No, right there where Bill lived, His wife's taking care of him now. Morrill. You know where Bill Morrill's house is?
Yeah.
Well, where they put that new road in is right, the mine shaft was right in the back there.
So when we look back, and of course, you know I'm going to have to ask this, because everybody does. The brothels brought in
lots
of people. Tours, and they also catered to the miners, and they were part of the community, were they not?
I grew up with them.
Right.
The day I was born, and gambled. That is a part of life, either way that you look at it. They did not bother anybody in this town. Actually, they made money for them.
Right.
There was one here and three over by the Bank of Amador. Bank of America.
And when you say there's one here, what are you referring to?
Down at, right where the restaurant is.
Okay. And you're talking about Mel's.
Bart Mel's. Yeah. There was a house right there. But you did not have all this development here, this cut out for the Safeway or the parking lot. And there was the hills.
Right.
And there was that alley by the Bank of Amador. Came through, and there was a wood bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The other two, went up Broadway, where the Peckovich parking lot, and now there's a Bank of America. There was a log cabin there they called the Log Cabin Bar. The next closest to the up the street was Ford Garage, burned up. Okay. So this log cabin was on this site. Then you went to those three houses. And there was an alley. And there was an alley on Water Street where that garage is. There's a little narrow spot.
Mm-hmm.
Cranky Joe had a bar, but there was an alley. And they had these wood bridges. Okay. If you lived in this town and somebody said, I went across the creek, they knew what you were talking about.
Oh, really?
You went across the wood bridge. And you went to the both of them.
Across the creek.
Across the creek. That was it. Everybody. If somebody said you went across, well, I know where you are. Yeah.
Okay.
But we grew up with it, and it wasn't... Then they shut it down in 58. Brown came in, but...
He said there were really pretty girls.
Oh.
Every...
You know, I mean, it looked like you were in a movie.
One day a week they went to...
Oh, they went to the doctor always.
And they were all... You'd see all these girls.
Yeah, then they told them later, don't go Main Street, take the back door. But these girls looked like movie stars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were out of place here. That's all there was to it.
Were they local kids?
No.
No, they came up for
they
this
came
business.
All out of, all over. If you talk to the Adams were just like your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd tell you they'd take care of you. Got sick, they'd take care of them. You know, they were just like a mother. So these girls, you could tell they did not belong here. Cause there was one they called Hedy Lamarr. I don't know if you ever remember her. She was a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Dark hair. Dead ringer. Dead ringer for her. You'd see her. But they never bothered anybody. But what got into it, too, they'd start bringing these people out of Stockton on Friday. From Friday to Sunday night, you couldn't go down that street between the gambling and everything else.
I talked to an older gentleman that was, he was brought up in buses when he was in the military from Stockton. They'd actually bring up a couple busloads of soldiers before they got shipped out
and
bring them up here. I don't know
the
if you
reason,
ever saw that.
The reason Jackson was open and the whole state was closed, your state legislator, L.A., Oakland, they couldn't get to Reno because it was cow trail. They had no freeways, but they could get to Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept it open. The sheriff was in on it. The chief of police was in on it. They protected it. They had a call come in, it's a problem up here. Call them up and tell them they clean it up, close it up. It happened many times. If people can believe it or don't believe it, but I saw it.
Right.
And that's why they kept on going for the people out of Sacramento. They had a place to go without
going.
Well,
Brown got in there.
Then Brown got in, Attorney General.
Jerry Brown.
Jerry's dad.
Yeah, Pat Brown.
Yeah, he closed up. But... tell you another story about those houses. You go up where they exercise, what you call it, right there on Water Street.
Oh, that's where the old Safeway used to be.
Yeah,
that martial arts place.
There used to be a big hotel right there. And next to it, later years, there's a recapping shop there, Johnson Recapping. Nobody ever saw that before. Recap attire? Okay, I was a little kid in the creek. So, I don't know, two or three of us, we jumped the creek, was down, up, and we went in the back of the houses, and they had a big cage there with a monkey in it. Well, you know, here we never saw lions, elephants, monkeys, or anything.
Yeah.
So, we go back and play with that monkey. And these elderly moms would come out and talk to us and say, boys, look at the monkey, but please don't hurt him. And they said, oh, no, you don't hurt him. So I told that to Gene Coble one day, and he says, I remember that monkey. That's a true story, too.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know why they had it.
Yeah, they had the monkey.
I never saw a monkey before.
In the 30s and 40s and 50s, who were the political movers and shakers of this county?
Well, or the city, as you know.
It was a clique. Caminetti's, McGee's, Sutter, Snyder. Then it got later years, like Spinetti, Pekovich, Casanelli.
Luco.
Well, Luco was the sheriff for many, many years. And then later, John Pekovich bought the town.
I was at a water board meeting down in City Hall. And this waterworks was owned by private concern, and they wanted to sell it to Jackson for $150,000. The whole system. John Pekovich ran this town. He had all this property and everything. And I can remember yet, I was sitting here, he was sitting here, he got up, he just said, "No, we don't buy it. It's too old and decayed." With that remark, it cost the city of Jackson over $10 million. When they went and bought it, they could have had it for around $150,000. Yeah. I remember that good.
Why didn't he want it? Because it was too old.
Too old. He didn't want to repair it. He didn't want to be charged, taxed. He owned all of it. He bought up everything after. Owned everything.
Interesting, because now we have, you know, other people that seem to own the majority of the town and so forth. And
yeah, you know, you have your commercial and people that they've bought in. Mm-hmm. You take like Armstrong, tire shop, and you have, it's all, you're more commercial than what it used to be.
Right.
And so there's new money in all these spots. One time it was all in a few people.
It's the same family, right? I mean, family turned it over to the next family member and so forth.
Yeah, it was just like a click. You couldn't get in if you wanted to. But today it's, there's more free money, foreign money.
Outside the county money. Yeah.
Just like up that shopping center up there where the old sawmill. That's unbelievable. When I knew it, there was bare rock there in the 41. They start building that big mill right by the where the Catholic Church is up there. That was all pond with logs in it. But see how they turned that over and redeveloped it. That isn't local money.
No. Uh-uh.
But all through here, that's what's making this. You take Calaveras County, they do not have it.
Yeah, I've always thought that was interesting.
Yeah, Gallagher is larger county, but
the old timers didn't want it and they didn't get it.
Yeah. Well,
I think with this county we relied so much on natural resources.
Yeah,
you know, it's the lumber's not there anymore, the gold mining's not there anymore, so we got to turn to other.
But we have people.
Industries.
We don't have a lot of people, but people have to eat every day.
Right.
So, like that new auto parts they're just putting in up there at the shopping center. I asked about that. I said, "You got three or four. They go to the volume of cars registered in the county.
That's how they make their.
That's how they distinguish where to put in a business."
Oh, really?
That's what I was told.
Makes sense. I never thought about that.
Business, you know. And it's just like the other one they put in there, that new one. I don't see the business, but it's just a write-off. They have thousands of them, I guess.
So you were talking about your ranch. So tell us a little bit about your ranch.
My grandfather's. And grandfather on one side of the family and grandfather on the other side. Yeah. The one grandfather, Zacconi,
What's the last name again?
Zacconi. Z-U-C-O-N-E. Zacconi. You ever heard of the Zacconi vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
Okay. Same name. Comes from back east. They're north of Milan. They're like
Italian Swiss opera.
Uh-huh.
My grandmother went to Milano to an opera one time. You know, farmer. First two kids were named Romeo and Juliet.
Really?
My mother's name was Juliet.
Oh,
and the first
great.
Boy was Romeo.
But, Romeo, Juliet, and Jill.
Well, then it was Mary and
Mary
and Sylvie. But
yeah, that was it. Romeo and Juliet, very original.
Yeah. She went to that opera.
Joseph.
And that's a many.
Well, that's the Mount Zion lot.
Yeah,
you're talking about
that property, Mount Zion Lookout.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have a tower up there now. Gidi uses it. Everybody uses it. We're about 300 feet from that tower.
Oh, yeah.
We own all the south side of that mountain.
Oh, really?
And they never knew it.
Really?
What happened up on that mountain?
Mount Zion.
Mount Zion, state property.
Yeah.
Many years ago, they had a state house down from the tower. They needed water. So they went down on the north side, way down the bottom, and had a spring, but it belonged to a private guy. He thought. The state said, we own it. They surveyed that whole hill about a dozen times. So when they got through surveying, like this corner, here's the tower,
yeah.
And our corner's right there. The state has this piece, and they have this piece. They built a piece through our property. We never knew we owned it. So this corner, and the old house sat right about in here. And there's a lot of sugar pine that grows in here, natural. You
yeah.
have to see the new growth. We had the dry years where the bugs just ruined it. But they're all coming back. And that's what he lived on that ground. I'd starved to death. How they get what he did, this sugar pine, these timbers logs, horse and drag them over by where he planted his vineyard. They dug some big pits. And they put the logs in, started them a fire, and cover them, make charcoal for the mine. Anything to make a dollar or live.
Hmm.
That's that property up by Clinton. The other one, my grandfather, he owned property all over the place. And the family got in a big fight when he died. They had property up by Buckhorn, down in the river, all over. So there was six of them in the family, six heirs.
Mm-hmm.
Four of them lived on a ranch. Two didn't live on a ranch. The two, this one lived in San Francisco, came to the four or three on the ranch and says, I want to sell my share for $1,000. They wouldn't buy it. I'm going to give you $1,000. There was one girl, Mary, married to Cuneo. She wanted to sell her share for $1,000. They wouldn't buy it. My dad worked for the state highway down here. He didn't make that kind of money. So he bought those two shares. He had a share. That's six. Three out of six. He owned half of everything. They fought for 15 years.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's like the Garibaldi Ranch. You ever heard of that one over that way, Garibaldi's?
I know the Garibaldi.
All that country over there, all the way up. They fought for 15 or 20 years in the law. Millions of dollars. Lawyers got most of it. But now it belongs to the Sierra Pacific.
Oh.
Bohemian had it. Oviatt Wetzel had it. But that's what happens. They get in a fight. And
so all the Onettos in the county you're related to?
Someplace down the line. Mm-hmm. We were talking this morning, I have five first cousins alive.
Really?
I think five. Yeah, I had about 20.
That's
wasn't it five?
Out of how many kids?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wow.
There were some big families. My dad only had two.
Margie.
Picardo.
Picardo.
That was, she was
Marie.
On that one.
You're related to Marge?
She's my first cousin. She's an O'Neill.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Oh, no.
She's a dandy.
Well, she cracks me up.
And Marie Martin.
Yeah, she was a O'Neill.
Roy O'Neill, he's in the hospital.
Yeah, he's going to turn 100 in 2 weeks. I don't know if he's going to make it.
Yeah, and who else is
Nita, there? His sister.
Nita.
And Tom O'Neill. There's five, I think, first cousins alive, yeah.
Wow.
That didn't have to do with the Sutter Creek O'Neill. That's another one over there. We're over here.
Are you related to the ones over there?
Oh, yeah. I used to go over there when I was a little kid on Sunday.
They say they're related, but they're from the same place in Italy, so they're pretty good.
And then you have O'Neill's in Calaveras County. They spell it with two T's, O'Neill. They don't even pronounce the same way.
Oh, really?
Hmm?
Now, when
they all come from the same place.
When I first came here in 80, I coached a team that was all league for me, Dan O'Neill.
Danny.
Yeah.
That's Tom's son. He works for Armstrong.
Oh, he's a great kid.
Yeah, he is.
I guess he's not
he
a kid.
For O'Neill, he's exceptional.
All the O'Neills are exceptional, right?
yeah, not really.
Come see, come
saw. I said, one guy, we're going in the church. The brother drives by and going to the ranch. Didn't even go to his sister's funeral. Oh, man. Yeah, but my grandfather, and they built a big mausoleum or a tomb underneath the ground right up there on the north end of Station 11. 369, 369, and 369 in the center.
Really?
And I think there's three spots left on each side.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, that was the old timers. Morfino's built one. Oh, who else up there? Quite a few. Apparently, it's got one above ground. Hmm.
Is there anything I haven't talked about or asked about that you want
to? Hey, Keith, come back. Think of something. We'll do this again.
I'm
not going no place. Unless I'm taking a ride up there across the street.
No. But if
go over it and.
It is interesting. Though.
It's fascinating. I love it. Verity, do you have anything?
Yeah, but.
Do you have anything to add that we haven't talked about that you know?
No, I've just been telling you things that I thought was interesting.
In April, we'll be married 65 years.
Oh, that's outstanding.
So
that's great.
I've been a school teacher for 65 years.
She's been a great student,
Jackson.
Right?
Yeah, she learned how to cook.
Oh, listen.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to end this right now, so thank you.